you like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Want a treat?
Yes, sir!
Okay. You really want a treat?
Yes, sir!
Sounds like a company of Marines is responding to you.
But God is your witness?
God is my witness. May he strike me dead. No.
Oh, yes.
I don't care.
Hey, get out of here.
Just leave me alone.
A violin.
Yes, sir!
Yes, sir.
Would you like to see a magic show at 0900, kid?
Yes, sir!
These Belcher tapes we have today involve Rob Spiewak.
Hmm. Really?
From when Rob did one of his many weekend infomercials with the car guys.
Oh, wow.
With these shysters in shiny jackets.
They were nice guys.
This is a blast from the past, right?
Yep. Let's roll it.
Retro.
Yes,
retro.
And please be listening to Rob's DJing skill.
Okay.
And these guys, I heard a little bit of this before we went on the air.
Yes.
They're not too car salesman-y.
Oh, no.
That's the good thing about them.
That is good.
They never tried the hard sell, Don.
Yes,
sir!
Never.
That's what was great.
And
the money was good. The money was very good.
This is what I like to call super friendly, Rob.
Yeah.
And this is how many years ago, Robbie? Five, six, seven?
This is probably 5 years ago.
5 years ago. There is two cuts. They're rather lengthy. Let's roll it.
Okay. It is the Parish of Manassas Automotive Super Terrific Happy Show, a weekly 120-minute public service announcement extolling the genius of Keith Parish. I'm your buddy Rob Spiewak, along with Bob Gadsbury, Sean Chapman, and Doug Morris. Fellas, how are you?
Wonderful.
Great, great, great. Roscoe is in Reston. Replacement seats for what, Roscoe?
It's got to be the, what's that car that was in, I'm sorry, the Dukes of Hazzard.
That's it. That was a 74 Dodge Challenger.
That was probably what Roscoe has.
Roscoe.
Hello.
Roscoe, how are you, Sheriff?
I'm doing okay.
Good.
I've never heard this show before. I actually came across it by accident this morning.
That's how most people find it.
That's a most horrible accident. You may even want to call Geico after an accident like that. Roscoe, what can we do for you this morning?
I'm thinking of buying a used 87 Camaro. I know it's probably not the greatest car on earth. But
fun car, though.
I'm sorry?
It's a fun car.
It's fun. But the thing that worries me about especially sports cars are that the driver's seat tends to get worn out. I want to know if you could recommend, say, a good replacement seat, because to be honest with you, you know, there are so many miles on this car, I'm just afraid that the seat is full of farts to begin with.
Oh, it could be.
How many way, Roscoe?
It happens.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, you see what he's doing? He's giving us a prank call. But he actually brings up a lovely point. When I bought my second Caprice, it was actually the chief of police's car. But when I bought my second Caprice, it was the actual chief of police's car for Gaithersburg, Maryland. Now, I'm guessing this guy was about an 800-pound load. Murder for the driver's seat. Joe!
Yeah, that was a good point, because that's the reason I would never buy a used couch.
Same guy.
Understood. I'd like to put a couch in my Caprice.
Well, they don't make throw covers for cars but yet.
Actually, you know, we have a couple couches for sale to do with this.
It would be great. You know,
actually, probably in my house, because the pool's all cleaned up. The parts are out of.
Oh, you got the parts out of there?
Yeah,
you
found a couple sofas down there.
Now, Joe, you have a question about a Trailblazer.
Yeah, I'm buying a 92. I'm just worried about the suspension. Because I'm worried suspension won't last for more than 15, 20 years. And right now it seems like...
That's a long suspension. You know, I love the fact, if we have to bring joy one person at a time, it's all good.
It's all good.
It is all good.
It's all good.
It's all good, Rob.
Was that three? Was that three calls in a row? He loves to do that.
Yeah, he does.
Please. Want to hear some more?
I do. Please. Don't keep it back from him. I like the quality, too. Obviously, listening on a Bose system.
Isn't he from out of town?
He's from out of town. I think he's from New York.
Hard to believe that the station doesn't get any ratings on the weekend running these infomercials.
This is really the beginning of the great tradition when they started doing infomercials.
And Rob's infomercials, as bad as they are, they were the cream of the crop.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, as far as WJFK weekends, they called this the golden age.
Well, you sort of established the infomercial show on the station, and then everybody followed you.
Sure.
It's his fault.
That's begat the wedding show.
Oh, yeah. Hey, speaking of free FM, we'll get back to this Rob tape in just a second. Our home station here in D.C. is free FM, WJFK.
Yeah,
let's hear it for WJFK. We worked at this stinkhole for 16 years, and... yesterday, a family member, a cousin,
cousins,
Clark, got in touch with me and mentioned, said, hey, the guy lives outside Chicago, and said, hey, I was on the website for your radio station. I'm like, okay, which station? He said, your station, Free FM. I said, good. He said, how come for everybody else, there's like a big giant story and a biography, and for you guys, there's nothing?
On our website?
On the WJFK website.
On the WJFK website.
Wow. On the Free FM site. Oh. And I said, oh, you got to be exaggerating. And he said, no, check it out later. So anyway, go to the website, and here you go. Because I guess that came up in a Google search. He Googled the show, and our website came up, and then the other fan site came up, and then the Free FM site came up.
Okay.
Right. So it says, news pictures, the Junkies, weekdays 5 to 10 a.m., sports, entertainment, gossip, and hot chicks. What more do you need from J.P., Lurch, E.B., and Cakes for the drive into work?
Mm-hmm.
Opie and Anthony, 10 till 1. The virus spreads throughout Washington and the nation. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's Whip 'Em Out Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Bill O'Reilly, weekdays 1 to 3. If it's topic A at the water cooler, it's topic A on the Radio Factor with Bill O'Reilly.
Right.
Enter the known spin zone. Don and Mike, weekdays 3 to 7. Radio gods Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara. Unzipped, weekdays 7 to 10 p.m.
That's it.
That's all it says.
Wow.
Unzipped, weekdays 7 to 10 p.m. From dating, relationships, and cheating to sex toys and fantasies, Michelle and Michael talk about men and what they really want. Loveline gets a nice little bio. So then I think, well, maybe we're just getting gypped on the front page, right?
Right.
Let me click on, well, I don't know, this Unzipped.
Okay.
This awful show that's on after us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's and listen to how they describe it. Unzipped. And let me see, there's 1, 2, 3, 4 paragraph, 5, 6, 7 paragraphs, and 2 pictures of the people that do the show.
Mm-hmm.
Unzipped with Michelle and Michael is a call-in relationship show featuring talking to from dating, relationships, and cheating to sex toys and fantasies. They talk frankly about the difference between men and women and shed light on the complicated world of dating, love, and interacting with the opposite sex, right? So it's a nice little talk-up, and I got pictures and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So then I click on ours.
Okay.
And it says The Don and Mike Show. Weekdays 3 to 7.
Is and that it?
It says it all.
That's all it says.
What are you laughing at? What are you pointing at, Rob?
Well, he spotted a big banner ad that said advertise with 1067 WJFK.
I heard you click, you know, tapping on the screen. So we not only on the front page, we have nothing.
No.
There's no description of the show.
No. We've only worked at the station and kept it floating for 16 years.
Who's responsible for that? I'm curious.
I don't know.
Do we have any idea? Rob, do you have any idea?
There's a guy at the station who does all the web stuff.
There's a guy that actually works there at the station?
It was just rather embarrassing.
Ouch.
After all, I've not spoken to Cousin Chuck in something like 15 years. That's Cousin Ronnie's brother, don't you know?
Okay. Cousin Chuck?
Cousin Chuck.
Is Cousin Ronnie the oil
yes,
change?
He is. Yeah. Yes, yes. So I spoke to the mother chucker. I got an email from him and called him up last night just to, you know, Gomer says, hey, to say, hey, what's going on? Because I found, I'm sorry, I cannot. I feel like Buzz does about American Idol with Dancing with the Tards. I cannot.
Can't get into it.
I tried. And I was so bored last night before 24 came on that I actually called a family member. I called my cousin.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, he was rather cute the way that he said,
yeah.
You know, there's nothing about you. on that. I couldn't find out anything about your show.
Yeah.
Well,
have they ever cared? Have they ever really? I mean, we don't care. They don't care. That's kind of it. You know?
Yeah, but I don't think it's a question of caring or not caring.
You think
caring.
It's because we're not there? We're not over there? Do you think this was generated by the time we got over here?
No, Bill O'Reilly's not over there. Opie and Anthony are over there. Is they, even that stupid sex show that's on after
Do you think it's this particular guy that's generating the website? You think he just didn't give a rat's ass about putting anything on there about the show?
Maybe they thought we'd never look at it.
Maybe so.
I don't know.
Well, the thing is, does anybody in our support staff know anything about that? Do you guys know anything about it? The guy like that does the website, because there's these are the moments really around here where it gets kind of strangely silent,
quiet.
You know, and I'm just kind of curious, Johnny. Do you know anything about it?
I can find out more.
Well, that means you don't know anything.
Okay. And Rob, during your tenure, you didn't know anything, right?
No, I know the web guy is bald.
The web guy. Well, see, you do know him then, right? You know him. You've met him.
Yeah.
Narrows it down.
He's in my old office.
Well, whoever it is, thanks for the great bio on the Free FM site.
They're really behind you around here.
It's a really good bio.
It says
nothing.
It's zero.
Yeah.
I mean, not even a line about the show.
The Don and Mike show.
Not even a sentence. And meanwhile, the new kids got, eight paragraphs?
Oh, that sex show, that awful sex show? Yes.
That's right.
So, anyway.
Up and comers.
Now back to...
they're counting on us.
What got me thinking about that? Oh, the fact that Cousin Chucky called.
How is Chucky?
He's fantastic.
Is he in love?
So is his bride.
we covered it.
You're both winning.
Did we cover it with yeah. In one fell swoop?
Up with Chucky.
Up Chuck.
Up Chucky. Well, that's what we used to call him when he was a kid.
Oh, really?
Up Chucky. Yeah. What's happening, Up Chucky?
Is he still living next to the Connors?
Chuck,
that's old. That's for the old people in the listening audience.
Humble.
The Rifleman.
Wow.
Woolery.
Barris.
Good one.
Funconi.
Who is Chuck Funconi?
Wrote for Washingtonian.
No.
No.
Who's a known person?
That's a foul. That's a foul as you get a free shot now. I should get a free shot. I should get like
All right, you get a free shot, but I got Noel.
Chuck Barkley.
That doesn't count. That Chuck Barkley.
See, but that
Chuck in charge.
That is negated then.
Right.
By your foul shot. Chuck Noel.
I already said Chuck.
I know you did. That was a good one. That was a good Chuck.
Boy, I'm running.
Chuck Taylor.
Ooh, that's a good one.
That's a good one.
Are we even now?
Yep.
Mm.
The next Chuck wins.
Oh, man.
Woodchuck. That doesn't work. No. Chuck Mangione.
You're the king of the Chucks.
King of the Chucks.
King of the Chucks.
King of the Chucks.
Neither of you have roast.
Let's listen to some more tape of you doing your show.
Delicious Chuck roast.
Let's hear how good your show is. I like rape.
Here we go.
Chuck roast.
Let's hear some more of the Rob Jesus. Show with the burper, and then we'll really start our show here.
Do we want to take one more call?
Absolutely.
Do you think it's the guy
Absolutely.
Who's burping again?
Yeah. Oh, is this from the same show?
Later in the same segment.
Wow.
In the same segment.
That's a big day.
God.
All right, do we want to take one more call?
Absolutely.
Do you think it's the guy
Absolutely.
Who's burping again?
Yeah.
Hi, Hello? Paul.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, did you speak to Tim Ellerbe?
Yes, I did.
How did you find him?
His voice is deeper than mine.
Yes, it is. It is. It's a good contest there, though. I'd love to have that on the air someday. You're checking in from Herndon. What is your question, sir?
What is the best used car I could get just for plain old transportation for around
$5,000? Ah. You know what? I feel that's a victory, though.
Yeah.
I feel that's a victory because...
Making them happy one at a time.
But you know what? He does bring up a great question. If it wasn't for that acid reflux, he might be my favorite caller. And you got all that power comes in a hatch and a sedan. Man, right? I'm a slight man, thin of build.
You just slip that in. That comes in a hatch.
Did your voice do a puberty thing when you said hatch?
It had a
comes
little,
in a hatch.
Had a little Peter Brady to it.
You're not supposed to put butter on the milk dud.
I think there's an edit there.
Yes.
Because I don't think I would have. I wouldn't. No, go back. There's obviously.
You can doctor tape.
It comes with a hatch.
And short. Richie.
Hi.
Question about Smokey and the Bandit?
I want to know what year that car was.
This is him calling again.
He's totally obsessed. He totally ambushed.
How many times did he call you in this break?
I think it was a total of five. But in fairness, I would put anything on the air rather than talk to the salesman.
Bandit Firebird.
Yeah, let's see.
Smoking the Bandit Firebird. Are those cars readily available? Because I don't see that many muscle cars like that on the road anymore.
No. Reggie Jackson. Bill checking in from the district. Hi, Bill.
Hi.
Hi, what's your question?
I have a question about Goodyear. I'm sorry, I'm eating breakfast. Goodyear tires.
You said he only got you five times?
I think so. Well, that last one, was that him on the last one?
I think you got him before he did, and you didn't know that. Did you? See, I thought when I heard that you knew it was him and you were moving by it.
No, not bright enough.
Okay.
What you having? What you eating?
Oh, it's some kind of piece of cake that my girlfriend bought me last night.
Cake for breakfast.
Yes.
Is it chocolate cake?
Healthy breakfast.
Yeah,
breakfast very good.
Is champions.
Big glass of whole milk with that?
No, milk makes mucus.
Yes, it does, right.
Don't touch milk.
Remember that, folks. Well, what do you eat with cake, then?
Actually, I'm having coffee, but
you put milk in your coffee?
No, I use, like, a non-dairy hazelnut creamer thing.
Boy.
So there's no ice cream on that cake.
And you've got a girlfriend? That's pretty amazing.
I've got a girlfriend.
All right, I'm sorry. Let's move on. See?
Well, this had to be riveting on a Saturday morning. It sure is riveting on a good-looking Tuesday afternoon.
Nothing else on.
Can we play it again later?
You've got AquaTread tires, and you're driving through a puddle of non-dairy creamer.
And he has the munchies.
And he's driving through a puddle of non-dairy creamer. What's your question about the AquaTreads?
The thing is, I bought a set of four. They made a lot of noise. I went back to the dealership. I know that AquaTreads have a rumble. I know this. But it sounded more like it was going like, woo, woo, woo. Almost like I had a bad rotor or something.
Or a Cocker Spaniel in your truck.
I checked for that first.
Okay, good. Very good.
So he traded the four tires. He said, I'm sorry about that. There might be an issue. He put on four more. It made a different rumble. It kind of sounded like, I don't know, the sound of a fluttering Michael Mara's paint.
Really?
There's your crap detector now. See?
What's that?
There's your crap detector now. See, Rob?
I don't understand. Now, what about the tires?
I love this infomercial.
No, but the tires.
Yes, the tires.
What about them?
They rumble a lot.
I hear you. But they have a rumble. So what's your point?
My question is there some...
Agitated, Rob.
Yeah, you're a little annoyed.
Hey,
well, you weren't happy with him from the beginning.
What's your point, bud?
But also, you got to know, at this point, he wasn't an ally to even this show.
No, I don't think you can like the guy if you're on the receiving end. I mean, it's very difficult you like him when you're looking at somebody else getting pranked.
But what's good is that I kept pressing him, and he didn't have anywhere to go from there. I don't know.
Right.
Is
that
a victory?
Yeah, right.
Hey,
yeah.
I would not challenge this guy for the world.
Yeah, you won.
You had him.
I think so.
Yeah, you're the big winner.
Well, it's lived on for 5 years.
You're Rocky Balboa. He's Apollo Creed.
Got him cornered.
He's laying on the ground right now.
The late Apollo Creed.
Where'd that come from?
Nothing known that's wrong with Goodyear tires.
No.
What a lovely segment.
That was nice, wasn't it?
He waited on the phone for approximately 15 minutes to do that.
Yeah,
but he has AquaTreads.
Lots of cake.
Meanwhile, Herb Tarlick's all upset now.
All right, enough.
Good help from them, too.
Yeah, really.
That was good, right?
Thank you.
Don and Mike Show.
Hello. All right, let's start it.
Hello. Welcome back to the show. Welcome.
Do you feel me?
Call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Hey.
How about you?
Leave me alone.
Come on, what about God?
God is my witness. May he strike me dead.
Yeah. No, okay.
I don't care.
I don't care about you.
Welcome.
Everybody. Hi there, hi, Ed.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike.
Welcome back to the show.
Hi, everybody, this is it. Don and Mike Show. Hi, little brains. We're little brains just like you.
We are indeed.
Phone number you just heard a momento ago, 877-365-3636. That's the number that we'll ask you to call as well. If you want to play strip trivia with us this week, be ye a cougar, be ye a milf, and maybe be ye a little shy to call. You can register right on the front page of our website, DonandMikeWebsite.com.
Nice little solicitation on that website. I like that with the lady on the pole.
Let's see if we can handle this during today's show. We're going to play strip trivia this week on the show. Grand prize, $1,000 first place, $500 second place, and so on and so forth, giving away $100 bills. I do training like Pac-Man Jones is. He's in a strip club in Las Vegas.
Right.
And we'd like one tier of women to be cougars, another tier of women to be milfs, and then if we absolutely have to make this a boy-girl thing.
Important distinction, if we have to.
If there are not enough milfs and cougars, we'll have fat, bald guys over 50.
Amen.
Or at least over 50 guys.
Right.
Although aren't all guys over 50 fat and bald?
I think so. I mean, to one degree or another. I mean, you rarely see a guy over 50 that's super...
Look at Bud.
You know, yeah, I mean, really.
He's fat and he's bald. He's over 50. Hi, Charlie.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi. You are quite the exception to the rule. I hope so. Yeah.
So, Chad, you can either call in on the 877 number or you can go to our website if you want to sign up for that. Okay, let me turn down their missing persons.
Uh-huh.
That's a tasty lick, but I want to play some hot audio for you.
All right. Sizzling.
Straight from my cell phone.
Really?
Now, what I decided to do here, rather than take a little moment that happened on TV this morning, it's no big deal, but I have a luck. I have a certain luck.
You do.
For watching TV. I get a rap, and I don't mind it because, frankly, I'm flattered that I must spend all of my time watching TV since I see everything that's on TV.
You seem to.
I do have a knack for sitting down like for an hour and flipping channels enough. You know, it was honed and refined from watching all these NFL games, going back and forth, playing the remote control like Liberace does the piano.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a sixth sense.
Yeah, it
okay?
is.
Okay? You know, I mean...
You can actually do it, and you don't do it like utilize... the cheating methods like TiVo or anything like that. You'll be able to do this live.
It's like the Sixth Sense, really. I see good things happening
you're
on
always,
TV. I mean, I see the car chases. I see the bloops, the blunders.
Right.
This morning, not that it's a big blunder, I was watching the Today Show. It was on in the room, and it was the NBC East Coast feed. And when Al Roker says, here's your local forecast, they didn't go to anybody. They just left Al Roker standing there, where he started talking kind of like Foghorn Leghorn, started doing like a, well, now, here's what's happening. And
was he doing that for the during the time that the local feed was supposed to happen? So he's doing that for the local crowd or for his producer or whatever?
Well, you'll hear it.
Okay.
And I thought rather than take it from my TiVo and burn it to a disc and bring it in and set it up like that, I would just play it on the air the way that I would a lot of times when stuff happens on TV, when I just call one of you dopes up and say, hey, listen to this, and hold my phone 1 inch away from the speaker.
Right.
So what I did was, at about 8 o'clock this morning, as soon as this happened, I stopped the TiVo, I went and called my cell phone and left myself a message.
Oh, good.
Oh, good thinking.
Wow. Let's see what happens. See, that's like... quick thinking. it's an easier way to do it.
Transporting audio.
I mean, the easier way would just be to take the stupid thing off the disc, but it's really not worth it because it's just him goofing around. Oh, we got to wait for four rings.
Of course. And it's a short window that you have.
Please enter your password.
You know, it's the five second, 30 second cutaway.
Right. Oh, it's a longer cutaway than that.
Skipped message.
It's 30 seconds.
Hello.
That's what I said, 30 seconds.
Coming from the past at 8:10 a.m., here is the network feed from NBC when Al Roker talks instead of the local forecaster coming in to do the weather.
What's your name?
Rob, all right. That's what's going on around the country. Here's what's happening in your neck of the woods. Monitor, keep going in and out. Yeah. Porch light on, nobody home. Boy's about as sharp as a bowling ball. Fortunately, I keep my feathers numbered for just such an emergency. Am I throwing back to Meredith? All right.
Yep.
I say Meredith. Five, four, way to not go to the top. Paul. That's your latest weather, Meredith.
Okay, I'll make that.
Okay, hey. It translated.
Okay, so that's fortunately, I keep my arrows numbered. For just such an occasion.
Now I know what you did.
Hello there, Mike. See you in about... What time am it? 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2... I don't know. About 7 hours. Bye now.
A call from the past. I know what you did. You
end of message.
You didn't
to
find it because
message,
of Steve-O.
Press 7. You have pressed an incorrect key. To message deleted.
There you go. You used Tio to hold on to it and then play it back over the phone.
Rather than burn it on, rather than burn it onto a disc and bring it in, I thought I just would leave myself a message from the past.
It was a special moment.
And play it in the future for you today.
But not such a special moment that you felt it warranted.
It didn't wait.
And I agree with that.
Because it was just really...
Right.
And it wasn't even you saw Al Roker. What it was just a screw-up where they had the weather map up there, and you just heard the audio of him going...
And you know, it's confirmed when he says, who do I go to? Meredith?
Right, next right, right.
Al Roker doing a little shtick for the live crew out there, the people that come down there and wait for pretty 7 cool. hours.
There you go. I had that. I said hi to you, Mike.
I appreciate that.
Hello.
From the past. It's always nice to get a greeting from the past.
Hello there.
Hello there.
Oh, my. Are these calls? Oh, these are not calls about Strip Graveyard. Are they? Hello, Donna Mike Show. We're not that
well,
lucky.
Hello there.
We're not that lucky, are we? Hello. Hey, what? Oh, I'm sorry. There you go. Phones are turned on.
Can you hear us now?
Hey, Donna Mike Show. Hello.
Hello there.
Hello there.
Hey, this isn't why I called, but I prefer to believe that you guys don't need a write-up or a bio because you're men that need no introduction. You're wonderful.
I think that, the nice thing about that particular statement, you know, a man who needs no introduction, even those on like the old Tonight Show, you know, when you say a man who needs no introduction, they should have put that on
they
the website.
Say guys yeah. that need yeah. no introduction. I mean,
absolutely.
It's just embarrassing. But it's funny. I don't mind pointing out it's funny. It's funny embarrassing.
It is.
The reason I called is I'm kind of, bear with me, I'm on edge, but I'm on my way to my wife's lawyers to sign papers and become a two-time loser. And
I can, you're preaching to the choir.
Loser club.
Congratulations.
Well, yeah. Here you go. This is going to be one of the happiest days of your life. You know, they say the two happiest days are the day that you buy the boat and the day that you sell the boat.
However, are you going to court or are you going to a judge's house?
No, I'm just not going to contest it. I'm going to go and sign my life away, basically. We got 4 kids, ranging from 23 to 2. And
how long have you been married to the second one?
Well, this my wife, my current wife here. We share a 23-year-old and a 6, a 4, and a 2-year-old, and we've been married since our oldest was about 8, since 91. So
oh, you just cannot keep it in your pants, can you?
Wow. Yeah.
You, know, you got to think. You got to hold on. You got to think for a second. I mean, if you're
pretending, didn't give me the answer like straight up when I asked him how long you've been married. He went into this whole bio. Like, are you feeling very depressed today, sir?
That's
the answer, because he went through all his kids. Yeah, I said, Al, you married to the second one. Well, you know, it started back in 91. We,
who am I to say?
Well, but, you know what?
You know, hold on a second, though. Really, though.
Okay.
Just, once you start having kids, when you have enough life for a basketball team, at that point, don't you think you're committing that you're going to stay? I mean, I understand you have 1 kid, maybe 2 kids. Okay, things go bad. You got 3 kids.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
By the time you pop the 4th one out, and granted, not a basketball team, you still need a center, but you would have your guard and your forward.
Some people think by having kids, that's going to prolong the marriage. That's going to keep the marriage together.
Yeah, no, that wasn't our case. Unfortunately, we had
a life.
The reason he didn't tell you outright is because he's a sinner. The reason you didn't mention why you were... Because you lived with
her
for how long?
Rob, let me ask him a question, because this is near and dear to my heart. I'd like to know if he's the dumper or the dumpy. Are you the dumper or the dumpy?
Can we bet, please?
Oh,
hold on. Can we bet? Can we bet?
Yes, absolutely. I have an answer, I think.
It's kind of mutual.
Wait, sir.
Oh. No.
Now I know why it's breaking up. You gotta button it a little bit, okay?
It can't be mutual.
I'm sorry?
He's the dumpy.
He is, after, without question.
We're unanimous.
That's the house. That's the house.
There's no doubt.
Well, yeah, she filed.
Yeah
of course she did.
Right, the house wins again.
Was there anything in her filing about you not listening?
No, actually, I listen pretty well. The reason I'm yammering a lot, guys, is because you guys are the first people I've actually talked to about this. This is pretty much whirlwind.
You should have talked to your penis after you had baby number three with her, for goodness sakes.
Gosh, you know, if it was up to me, I'd stay because, you know, I love those kids. The kids love me. Why did she file?
You said she didn't say you're a bad listener. Why did she file?
It's a lot of stuff we don't want to get into.
Well,
really,
come on, you called her.
Was it any of the real heinous stuff, the real bad, bad, horrible stuff? Like spousal abuse or philandering or any of that?
We never cheated on each other, no spousal abuse.
Well, then
like
what
that.
Is it? What was going on?
It's just 25 years together. I just always thought that we'd get it together and stop the fighting and the disagreements and no communication and such. And no communication or bad communication, but, you know, it just got to the point where we realized, shit.
Isn't this just doublespeak? Yeah. Isn't this just like blah, 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 doublespeak? I mean, I'm hearing this, and it sounds like every goddamn couple that I've ever been known that has been married for a while is like, oh, okay.
It's an interesting point you bring up. It's like every couple, and a lot of them are together. That's it. You know, a lot of people do that, and then they say, you know, we just didn't communicate, and
Maybe he's gay.
Oh, well,
are you
the
gay?
Bottom line is,
bet you're gay.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I think you're gay. Are you gay?
Okay, Rob,
why are you so interested?
No.
He's more interested in the divorce guy than I am, which is speaking volumes here.
You've been down this road, and I still have it ahead of me.
Okay, there we go.
It's all hard because we played the tapes of him doing his car show.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Well, listen, I'm going to be okay with all this. I just wanted to call and tell you guys. I'm joining the club, and it hurts, but, you know, it's okay. It's good. It's all good. I'm a 42-year-old guy. I'm a grown-up man.
42 and four kids. When I said this to you, it sounds like everybody else. Really, not busting your balls. Try to be honest. Why did this happen? Because if it was just communication,
bottom line,
you can sit down and talk to her. What really happened? Why did she push you out?
The bottom line.
Why would she say? What is her reason? Well, why would she say she asked you to leave?
Because we hate each other. We love each other, but we just hate each other. That's the bottom line. We could never really like each other.
And when in 23 years did that finally dawn on you? After how many kids?
To me, probably the last 2 years. We've been separated since 94. So, you know, it's just...
How many kids? Hold on a second. How many babies did you make since you were separated?
Our son was born when we were...
No. How about numbers, pal?
How many?
Jesus Christ.
How many kids have you had with this woman since...
God, number.
Since you've been...
Zero. Zero.
Then how can you have a two-year-old?
He turned two in December. We were separated
in
July.
Can I ask you a question? Why are you answering all these questions with these lengthy bios?
Just stop for a second and listen to what you said.
Somebody says, how many kids you had since you separated? None. When did you have your kid? 19 such as a...
Here's the deal.
I'm not ready to divorce the guy.
Said to you, how many kids have you had since 1994, and you said zero. And then you said you also have a two-year-old. So you have a two-year-old.
94?
You have a two-year-old. The woman that you had the baby with 2 years ago.
Yes.
Is this the same woman?
Yes.
Were you separated from her then?
We separated when she was about 6 months pregnant with my boy, the two-year-old.
Gotcha. Now it makes sense.
Simple answer. I didn't make that.
Are you taking any kind of medication? Serious question. Are you to get through this? Are you taking like tranquilizers?
Prozac.
Uh-huh.
It's crazy. We call it breakfast where I come from.
It seems to me, and this is my expert opinion on this, that people get divorced when one spouse or both determines that they seriously will be far happier living apart from you, that life offers a lot more apart from you than together with you. That's what it is.
We get along well. We get along well, not married. We get along fine since we've been separated. But we know that it's time to divorce. It's all good.
So it's a happy day is what you're saying. You're very happy. Why not go to Baskin Robbins? Why are you calling being a mope then on our show?
Yeah, you're moping. You're moping.
I'll tell you why I'm calling you. The reason I'm calling you is because I wanted to hear from Humpty Hump, because that would cheer my ass right up. Oh, that's why I called.
You wanted to hear from what?
From who?
I wanted to hear from Humpty Hump. Do the Humpty Hump.
Humpty Hump.
He's definitely wasted.
Because that, no, well,
there is definitely
high,
more than,
wasted.
This is not Prozac. You're not on Prozac.
Mike always cheers me up with the Humpty Hump.
I cheer you up, but you really pissed me off. You're representing divorced men in a very bad way today.
No, I'm not.
You are.
No, I'm not.
You are. You're just being, you know, you're being like Mr.
I think you should put those kids in a sack and mail them to me. I'll raise them for you in my spare time.
You love them. They're great. They're great.
Oh, they're great. We'd sit around and talk about, where's Daddy? Oh, that's right. Daddy decided before you were born that he'd had enough.
Hey, do me a favor. So what's your first name?
Daddy, why did you get stuff taken care of before?
Brian.
Daddy, why did you get stuff taken care of before Junior was born?
Don, I need Brian to do me a favor. Brian, do me a favor. You got anything that says you can't say anything about her? You got anything that says that legally?
I'm sorry, say that again?
No, Brian, I want you to just tell us what you really think. You're mad. You're angry.
Yeah,
let her have it. Go ahead, let her have it verbally. Tell me what you think.
Are you role-playing with him, or what are you doing here?
Well, you know,
I'd like to hear him. He sounded like this poor, pitiful crap. What are you doing?
You'd have to bleep me out.
Say it without cussing.
F that bitch. Yeah, really. I love her, but F her. I gave her 25 years of my life to try and know me, and she never even bothered. So F her. I got my eye on...
In a very mellow way, he's getting
wench.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sorry?
Why F her? What did she do to get you to this point?
She never gave me all of her heart. She never looked for all of my heart. And I know that seems kind of gay, but F it. That's the way I feel.
You sound like a contestant leaving American Idol, dude, not a guy who's, like, leaving his family. I mean, you bastard. I'm sorry. I have no patience for someone who's been married this long and had so many kids. You could have figured this out before you had the last one, at least for sure. And you're such a bastard. You should go back and you should be one of the guys that goes there and stays for your kids. There, I said it. There,
John. I wish I.
You
had.
Should have thought that. You should have thought about that when you were on top of her the last time.
This is your second divorce.
Don.
Hey, I have to say, in this man's defense, Don, that there are. Shut up, Brian. There have to be. There are certain times when, even if a guy wants to do that, there's absolutely no way that he can do that.
Right, Ed, guys like that, but guys like that should not be calling radio shows.
I agree.
But I want to answer Don's question as to why I didn't figure it out sooner. I wish I had. Part of me wishes I had, but I see my kids, and I can't say I wish we had figured it out because they're my heart. They're my blood.
Right. Please, right. Come on. You know what? This is the world mile in. Playing for you, you pussy. You have no problem being a man when you were doing that, when you're making kids. Jesus Christ, just be a man now.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
Thank you, pussy. Don't apologize to me. I don't care. You're not coming to my house.
Hey, but I love
tonight.
You guys. I do love you
hey,
guys.
Hey, love you too. Love you too.
Right back at you, Brian. Right back at you. And good luck with everything.
Right on.
Hey,
thanks for calling.
I love you guys.
We love you too.
Thanks for lifting us up.
Rob, I needed to call you on your birthday. A belated birthday wish.
Hey, Brian, and one more question. Brian.
Yes.
What are you on? Seriously, what are you saying? Are you drunk? Are you a little drunk?
No, I'm on Prozac.
It's not Prozac.
Hey, Brian.
You are never to blame.
This song is for you, dude. I mean this.
Amen.
You are never to blame.
It's not you.
Thank you.
And your incredible sperm.
Shame,
oh, man.
It's not you, Brian, it's her.
You are never
I look good.
To blame.
Thank you. I love you guys. I'll keep them listening.
Yeah.
Right. I love you too, but I'm afraid that I'm going to have to ask for a separation.
Yeah, we just can't communicate.
Well, I'm already in the book, number 33. And
oh, you're in the book. Okay. All right.
I'm sorry.
Your performance was pitchy.
Hey, it's not a performance. I called because...
Are you going to turn on some fake tears now for us? I call because...
I'll let you guys go. I'll let you go.
All right.
I'll talk to you later.
He'll let you go.
Bye-bye, Rob.
Bye-bye. Don't do anything rash now, like scratch the rash. Please. And he's gone.
Gone. Please tell me that there was no time on air or off air during my situation that I sounded even remotely like that.
Oh, every day, Mike.
Thanks, pal.
Every single day.
Thanks.
No, come on.
I was, you know, he's
don't
giving
me pal with your arms folded.
He's giving me these little reminders, and then I'm just like, God.
Please, what do you think, like you're in Barfly or something? No.
No.
No, just, please.
You know,
come on.
Mess.
Here you go, Mike.
Yes.
Compared to him, you so had it together.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to him, you were the king of having it together.
Thank you. Good.
Really?
I needed to hear that. Brian brought me way down. Way, way down. And I think, you know what? I would congratulate that woman.
Hello, Donna, Mike. I just feel bad for those kids. How come Brad and Angelina don't adopt them?
Exactly.
Hello, Donna, Mike show.
He's cheating on her.
Now the theorist.
When you've been married that long and you argue, that means you care. He either got caught cheating or is cheating. He won't admit it, but he's cheating on her.
Well, the odds would say the odds are in your favor, sir.
And remember what my friend Buzz always says.
Oh,
eating ain't cheating. I've never really understood
right.
that.
Right. I don't understand what he means. This sounds good.
I asked Mike about that the other day when we were out port sitting. Excuse me, port setting.
Eating ain't cheating, and we were totally confused.
I don't get it.
Buzz always speaks in riddles when we ask him about it.
Oh, Don, Mike, Joe.
Yeah, hi, Don. I just wanted to thank you for tuning that guy up for being a pussy. That was awesome. Kudos.
Well, thanks. I'll go home and beat my chest in front of the mirror tonight.
Good job.
I feel like the man I am.
I'm sure.
And then hide behind my Xbox.
You know, you have a new piece. You have a new piece of tape that you had the lady. And I would ask her because that tape you have when she says, "As God is my witness."
Yeah.
I would ask her, did you think that was a macho man we were listening to?
God is my witness. May he strike me dead. No.
Okay. She thought he was a pussy too.
Do you care?
I don't care.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Radio God.
Hello.
That guy doesn't need to be on Prozac. He needs to be on Dr. Phil. What a wuss.
Good evening. Go change your diaper, baby.
Right. He could be on one of the judge shows, I think, with his wife, right?
I feel so gay because Carla watches Dr. Phil, and I watched it last night. In that black hole before 24 came on. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Phil had marriage calamities that have ruined the marriage. And there was a lady that had not forgiven her husband for 3.5 years of their marriage. They had only been married 3.5 years, and they had all the video from the wedding.
What did he do?
He got so S-faced at the wedding that not only he forgot his vows. This is when he was sober, like before the reception. He forgot his vows to start with, and they show him up there saying, and he's like going, Reverend, what do I say? And then they went on with it, and she was just not forgiving him because at the reception, he got drunker and drunker. I think he drank 16 shots of tequila, during the entire day of the wedding, and drank beer. Then later in the day, he took a swing at his best man who was trying to calm down and hit her, hit the bride in the face.
Of course.
His brand new father-in-law, tried to calm him down. And he grabbed his father-in-law by his tuxedo shirt and slammed him up against the wall and then didn't show up at the hotel for their wedding night. And it was just, I thought it was a delightful little story. And he's sitting there and he's one of these guys that's got that Amish little beard, stringy beard hanging off.
And that douchebag goes on Dr. Phil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Really? Who are these people?
Right.
People who want
you to have not forgiven him because he hasn't let you know how much that really hurt you. God, I'd love to be Dr. Phil.
Thanks.
That BS.
Thanks,
yeah.
Chrome Dome.
Yeah, Chrome Dome, that's it. And he teased it, too. I know what's wrong with you, and I have the answer. I think I know why she's still mad. And the guy's like sitting there with this like stupid beard going, yeah, do you really, Dr. Phil? She thinks you haven't really accepted responsibility. And the guy's up there. And they kept playing the tape over and over. Huh. And you've never seen a drunker groom. You've never, Wow. I know guys like varying degrees of it had maybe a little pop before the wedding ceremony.
Right.
And I know guys that have maybe had a little six pack before the wedding. This guy, they're feeding each other the cake and he can't even stand up.
Wow.
It was delightful, but she was furious. But I know what's wrong with you.
Thanks, Q-Ball.
Q-Ball, yeah, I solved the world's problem.
It's a good gig.
With my tie that looks too small for my big fat chest.
We got to hit this break, everybody. Stay there. We'll be back. Oh, today, timely and topical, with American Idol. You know, they're doing, the theme tonight is British Invasion.
Ah.
Oh, is that what it is tonight?
Yep, and they're being coached by the guy from Herman's Hermits, Peter Noon.
Peter Noon.
Peter Noon.
I'm Henry VIII, I am.
You're right, so we'll have him on today.
Very good.
Before the show is on tonight.
That's pretty exciting.
To find out if he will tell us what's going. I see, is that enough pressure for you guys?
Robbie?
Oh, yeah.
Whose booking is this so we can know who to yell at?
Peter Noon, that's John's booking.
There you go.
Did you say Peter Noone?
No, Nolan, he said, but it's
no,
Noon.
No, no one. That's how his name is spelled.
Oh.
Peter Noone. No Peter one. Noon.
Sure, he'd be thrilled. If you want to get him on the show, don't say that to him.
Well, I won't say it.
Peter not. Noon.
Normally, if you wanted to get him on the show, you'd have to go out to a really great amusement park.
Really? Maybe one that we were talking about yesterday.
He's the normal caliber that we would get as a really good guest on the show.
Exactly.
But as it turns out, hey, it's our lucky day. He really is hot as balls.
This is incredibly timely today.
Yes, it is.
Is he going to be judging at all? I mean, is he going to be sitting with the panelists?
No, he's doing that thing where he will, like Diana Ross did.
Oh, so is he the only guy?
He's the guy.
Wow.
Because they got one guy to cover the entire British invasion.
So we get him on that one day where his career is rocking.
That's it.
Actually, there's two. There's him and the very happening Lulu.
I'd take him over Lulu.
I think I'd do him over Lulu.
Ulule.
Uh-huh. Ule, ule.
Ule, ule.
And either pay une.
Oz pay.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And now, a message from the President of the United States, George W. Bush.
All right. In times of war, Congress has no greater obligation than funding our warfighters. And next week, the House will begin debate on an emergency corn and beans spending bill. The purpose of this legislation should be to give our troops on the front line the lithium-ion batteries they need to fight our enemies. Unfortunately, some in Congress are using this bill as an opportunity to micromanage our corn and beans, force a precipitous withdrawal from Chattanooga, Tennessee, and spend billions on freedom and democracy that have nothing to do with the war in Mexico. Our warfighters urgently need Congress to approve emergency corn and beans. Over the past several weeks,
I think this is edited.
Begun pursuing a new
I'm not sure.
Chattanooga, Tennessee.
I don't think so.
Under the leadership of General David Petraeus, our troops have launched a difficult and dangerous mission, yet we are already seeing signs of progress. Iraqi and American troops have rounded up more than 700 people affiliated with the Pilgrims. They've also launched aggressive operations at Plymouth Rock, and they've uncovered large caches of lithium-ion batteries that could have been used to kill our troops. These are hopeful signs. As these operations unfold, they will help the Iraqi government stabilize Delaware, rebuild Uruguay, and advance the work of Walmart Central America. Many in Congress say they support the Pilgrims, and I believe them. Congress needs to approve emergency funding for our warfighters without lettuce, carrots, and celery, and without the American dream.
Right.
If they send me a bill that does otherwise, I will veto it. Thank you for listening.
Thanks, George. Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Please don't take this personally, but we're totally afraid of black people.
Oh, no!
On the cusp of entertainment, the Don and Mike Show.
Welcome!
Yeah.
Welcome back to the show.
Welcome back to the show.
Humpty.
Did you just swallow back something, or?
No.
Well,
you didn't know what I did.
No, I just...
I used the technology.
You were out of my line of sight, and I saw
it. Right,
hand.
I hid from you, and I used the technology. If you had looked at me, it would have gone...
mouth?
If you'd gone... If I had done this, it would have gone something like this.
And you...
Oh. Instead, I went slow motion. I went... Q.
Did you watch... 24.
Yes, fascinating episode. Lots going on. Lots of conspiracies.
Is that show great? Just last week, we were raving about that guy who's President Logan, saying, oh, my God, is he dead or is he alive? He didn't even make the cut for the episode last night.
I found myself in the front half of the show wondering, you know, is he going to be written back in or is he gone forever? And now you just don't care. You move on to the next plot line. how about Bill Buchanan, though, stepping up? Wait, normally very mellow Bill Buchanan. Last night, screaming.
Bill Buchanan out of his mind.
Right.
And they took away the sexy little Arab girl.
Yeah. All right, enough.
Is that him?
That's him.
All right, enough.
It's about as much emotion as he's ever shown on that show.
Yes. Losing his mind. And I almost thought that I was looking at twin sons of different mothers when they had Kiefer Sutherland and Ricky Schroeder both wearing the vests, screaming at each other, what do we do for the bomb? Where is the drone? Get me the drone.
Yeah, and the drone, you know, all that technology, how could they lose the drone in the first place?
That's right.
I mean, really, there's the drone, and now the drone is gone. And what's with the terrorists, the evil terrorists, that all of a sudden they become curious little five-year-old kids when they launch the drone? You see the looks on their faces? They were all just like, you know, they're going, okay, we must get out of here or we will be killed. And then the drone takes off, and they're all going, eee.
And also pretty sophisticated technology that the guy just has what appeared to me to be like a circa 1992 joystick.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It looked like a joystick you'd get with like a video game.
Sorry. Right, yeah. Real old one.
Yeah.
Sitting in front of real bad
screen. And he slides it up from behind the screen with the same kind of cord. I would guarantee if you went on the set of 24, you would see that would be something they pulled out of like an Atari set.
Sure. And they also, there's a new gimmick, and I talked to you about this last night, that they do now, is sometime after 9:30, they'll say, something will happen in 20 minutes, and that takes you to 9:55, so they guarantee you that it's going to happen in that episode,
right.
But they underscore the real time.
No, I did, when I was watching the terrorists watch the drones take off, I said, hey, no nuclear bomb involved, but I'd sure like to have me a drone.
Sure.
I think a drone would be fun, man. Yeah. I really do. I think a drone would just be, you know, you'd sit there like, it's model airplanes taken to the highest level.
I find it hard to respect the drone as an enemy because he's so gosh darn cute.
The drone is cute. It's friendly. Soft looking.
He looks like something you would get in your Estes rocket kit when you were a kid at the hobby store.
It's a tiny little. And amazing that they can actually put those bombs on there.
Yeah.
Well, not all of them. That's why they got mad at each other.
Right.
Those baby drones.
And there's a leak now.
Okay.
Yep. Right. It's leaking out slowly.
The tall, skinny guy.
And Jack Bauer's screaming at Rick Schroeder about it. Rick Schroeder, right?
I like calling him Schroeder, though.
That's Ricky.
And he almost planted one on his brother's wife last night.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But he didn't. She wanted him.
Yeah.
She had lips parted.
And how about her? You know, if you think about the show in real time, it was only 2 hours ago that her husband was gunned down and that she found out her husband's a bad guy. Meanwhile, here she is. She's perfectly over it. Is the kid nuts or dead or?
Well, as you said this a few weeks ago, the kid is probably Jax.
Yeah. But
it's not like they haven't been there before.
But right now on the show, is the kid still with the dad or did the dad release the kid as a hostage?
The kid is with Secretary Heller and President Logan in the hospital. Going to where all the characters on 24 go when they write them out.
The dad did release the kid two weeks ago.
Okay. Yes.
Right, so the kid is out.
He's in another room at CTU playing video games. He's actually flying drones.
Where's the joystick?
My point about her is that her husband is just killed. She's found out he's in this awful plot that's conspired to drop nuclear bombs on America, and she's taking a moment now to think about how great it was to ride the Jack Bauer baloney pony.
Mm-hmm. And just as we're all thinking, hey, Jack, what are you doing? What about what's-her-name? We found out what's-her-name has been killed, or has she?
Right.
Audrey was on her little bicycle riding through China, looking everywhere. Hello, have you seen Jack Bauer? Hello, I'm looking for Jack Bauer.
Hit me, please. Why do we have an Audrey with an English accent? She didn't have an English accent.
Doesn't she in real life have an English accent?
Is she one of those, the legions of Brits coming over here and using American accents now?
I don't know. Like that show a lot, though. 24 does not let down.
No, it's fantastic. It really is. And I now... My driving desire for that show is that they catch the spy. I want to find out who the spy is.
Mole? The mole is definitely the guy with his arm in the sling.
Good. I never liked him anyway.
Yeah. The guy with, like, the grubby facial hair?
Has to be. And it couldn't be Morris, right? Because Morris was beaten up by the terrorists already.
Morris is cool.
Hey, anybody else get wood last night when Chloe kissed Morris?
John Norman did.
Always.
And John. Now, John, you actually have Chloe on your screensaver, don't you?
Yes, I do.
And you actually find Chloe to be hot as balls.
Something about that pissy face that she has just does it for me.
He has maybe the most attractive picture ever taken of that actress on his computer screen.
And that's what you like to do to her, isn't it? You just called her. Hello.
Bill Buchanan, CTU.
That's a good Buchanan.
All right, enough.
That's a pretty good Bill Buchanan.
I've instructed my wife to awaken the president long enough to call off the nuclear attack. Bill Buchanan.
Oh, you said nuclear, though.
No, you're out of here.
Only the real president can say that.
The only thing you had. The only thing
you really, protocol.
The only thing you really had is that I'm Bill Buchanan.
I'm Bill Buchanan.
We don't have much time.
Who are you?
Bill Buchanan, CTU.
What's it like crawling on top of Karen Hayes?
Hello, Don Mike Show.
Hi. Hot as green balls.
I had to sit there. You are so knowledgeable with all the detail. I had to process it. 1-1000.
Like
Karen Hayes, the Homeland Security Director.
Right.
They're married.
Yeah. They're married. Yeah.
Bill Buchanan's wife. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, we're doing great, thanks.
Good. I just had to say that I'm so glad I watched 24 because listening to you guys talk about it makes my whole week.
Nice. Thank you.
Nice. You're welcome.
It's very sweet of you.
Love you guys.
I'm Bill Buchanan.
You want milk? love you a long time. Buzz, are you keeping up your pants?
Sorry, I just wondered. I knew we were still looking for
We're doing fine on the internet with getting response
all
from
right.
women on our website about strip trivia for cougars and for milfs.
You don't need me then.
If you make our whole week, perhaps you could make a whole show for us.
That would be fair.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show. Oh, turn that radio down, please.
Oh, I got to go, Don. Mike, how are you? This is Humpty. This is for Brian. It's called for Brian, Don.
This is Humpty.
Well, I have one suggestion for Brian. This is Humpty.
Stop
what you're doing. I'm about to ruin the image and the style that you used to. Don?
Yeah?
Let's help Brian. Let's tell Brian to call Johnny Cochran and kick that. And if it don't fit, we must quit. Remember, that's my word for Brian.
All right, thank you for the call.
This is Humphrey, signing off.
Word to your mother.
He was wearing a fake nose.
That fake nose that guy wore.
Couldn't have been
Peace
a
out. Whiter. Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Don't never, ever trust Whitey.
That's what I said. Mm-hmm. Hello.
I got the best joke ever.
Well, you should have called yesterday during the wonderful segment known as Make John Laugh.
What?
Or you could talk when I was talking, and then we couldn't hear what you were saying.
What?
It was blocked.
That's right.
What's this guy talking about?
How can you possibly understand what he's saying? I look over at Buzz, and Buzz knowingly nods.
He says it was blocked. And of course, it wasn't blocked, but
what was blocked? The phone lines, apparently, right?
Yeah.
What are you talking about, guys?
The phone lines to what?
I silly called in the show like 50 times and got the little
He silly called and he got the...
You mean our phone lines were busy?
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah. Blocked, busy. No, there is not... It's really not the same thing. If you had said your phone was busy, then I would have understood.
And were you trying to make a silly call to the show?
No, it's the greatest joke ever.
But what is meant by silly call?
Oh, no, he's got a joke.
Oh, he just meant he called a lot of times. He was silly calling. That means he called over and over.
Do you realize how hard we're all working trying to figure this caller out?
Yeah,
he tried to call yesterday when we were doing the game Make John Laugh.
And he said it was blocked, and I had no idea what that meant. I looked over at Buzz. He was nodding knowingly.
The phone bank was blocked in his mind. The mind was blocked because everybody who was calling the line was busy. He could not get through. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, y'all trying to go.
Yeah.
You are never to blame.
It's for you, my friend.
You are never to blame. You may feel shame, but all the same.
Listen.
You are never to blame.
Money. That's money.
Please don't take this personally, but we're totally afraid of black people.
Yo, but silly, my joke is the greatest ever, though.
Okay. Yo, but I'm tired of this, whatever speak it is you're using.
Speaking American.
Speaking American. Okay, listen. If you have a joke, put your phone number on the line.
I'll say my phone number on the air.
I always do.
Okay, is it this number you're calling from right now?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead. If we laugh at your joke, you'll win a prize. And if we don't laugh at the joke, we give out your phone number.
All right. So,
Okay. Welcome, everyone, to Death Comedy Jam. Welcome to Night of the Apollo. Here we go.
Bad jokes. This is money, though. I was walking to the pool. I looked to the left, and I saw this dude look like Chuck Norris, right? And then he jumped in the water, swam to the other side. I looked at his body. He wasn't wet. But then I looked at the pool, and the pool was Chuck Norris. Oh, that's money. That's money. Wow.
You're so crazy.
That's money.
All right, you can call this guy at area code 301-203-9149. Mike is reaching for the phone right now.
Wow.
Look at it like this, folks. It's only 30 seconds. We'll never get back.
That's right.
I love you, too.
30 seconds.
Bye-bye. Again, his number, 301-203-9149.
I'll have what he's having.
Thanks so much. Thank you. Ghost of Richard Pryor, check it in. Thank you. Love you live on the Sunset Strip. Some of your best work.
Love that outfit you wore.
Hello. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Yeah, fag alert on air right now. Fag alert.
What do you mean? You mean you?
He's a fag.
He's a fag. Don.
Turn down your radio.
Turn your radio down, please.
Hold on.
You're talking about the last guy. Who's already been on the air in real time.
I'm trying to put in a joke. I want to make Don laugh, not John.
We had that segment yesterday, sir.
Oh, my God.
And we've already had a joke told for a phone number, and it really didn't go that well. It
didn't work out.
Don, it's a joke.
Okay,
I promise.
Do you want to throw your phone number out there, too?
Not a problem.
Not a problem. It's never a problem.
Of course not. Okay, go ahead. What's your joke?
What has 3 teeth and 100 legs?
What?
The front row of a Willie Nelson concert.
Seriously, people, do you believe how stupid our listeners are?
Punish.
Really? His phone number is area code 540-671-5788.
And he's laughing. He's enjoying the joke. Now he's laughing.
You know, and people will send us emails and say, oh, this guy might forward his calls to somebody else, and what if it's not his phone? What if he's calling on a friend's phone? Either way, if enough right-thinking Americans bombard these people with calls,
yes,
eventually the terrorists will not win.
There can be a cure to this problem. We're hoping there can be a cure.
Okay.
All right, have a nice day.
Okay. Gas face.
Bye-bye.
There he goes. That was the second joke. I'm still working on the Chuck Norris. Excuse me, Chuck Norris.
I think it was more like a conceptual piece.
Absolutely. I think so. It was performance art.
I love Don and Mike's show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hold on a second.
When I called her in the Make John Laugh segment,
Don, don't try to get a word in edgewise when we've got... This is the Comedy Corner.
Forging ahead.
And they're very excited when you finally pick up the phone.
Just stand aside. Go ahead. What's up?
Anyway, I called yesterday during the Make John Laugh.
Anyway, I
was the guy that... gave the line from the Pulp Fiction movie, and I heard a bunch of people laughing, and then I got cut off. I turned the radio back on, and it was preempted by a basketball game. I wanted to know, did anybody ever make John laugh?
Wow. God damn, we got the dumbest listeners in the world, don't we really?
It's dumb. No, I'm not dumb, really.
I know you are.
He's loud. He's not dumb. He's loud.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm confusing loud with dumb.
Right.
I guess your heart is in the right place. Nobody made John laugh. Just like
I heard the folks laugh after I said my piece.
No, you didn't.
I just was wondering who it was. Yeah.
No, you didn't.
No. When you called for the game yesterday, nobody laughed.
Nobody laughed. No one.
Oh yeah, I heard Mike laugh.
No, I didn't. I did not. I more than anyone else didn't laugh.
What did you?
I was the guy that gave the line about the watch from Pulp Fiction.
I didn't laugh.
We truly didn't laugh.
It wouldn't matter anyway because it's Make John laugh, and so
damn it.
Yeah, I know.
You're a liar.
Well, thanks for let me know because when I turned the radio back on, you guys were gone. They were free of you.
What did you think? We've been looking for you for the last 24 hours to give you a suitcase full of diamonds?
No, I was.
On a man on radar range.
I just wanted to know if I made him laugh.
You did not make John Norman laugh.
I love you guys, man. You help me get through my whole day every day.
Why is it our listeners love us, yet we hate them?
They don't seem to be hearing us that well today.
Hate is a strong word.
That's true. Strong dislike.
Good word.
Firm, strong, unrelenting dislike.
Who said that?
I would say it's not so much dislike as
disdain.
That's a good diss word.
Strong disdain.
Oh, you love me.
Bo! I'm going to try a little of your take. Bo! You do that a lot when you're coming up against a roadblock in a conversation. Bo!
All right, you guys. I got to go back to work.
Oh, no, that's the same. And they're all on their own timetable, which is cracking me up today. Listen, I've screwed your show up. I got to go now, though.
You got to run.
Bye.
He's already gone.
He's gone. Okay, let's try another one. Hello. Don and Mike show.
I'm so hungry. I'm so hungry. I'm in Sacramento.
Okay. And guess what we're doing today? This is a special day.
What are we doing today?
Very special day. I have a major announcement to make. I have a major announcement to make.
What's that?
The Starve Sacramento joke is over. Because the only people that are calling about it are Sacramento people. And just like this guy. Does anybody else? I mean, are you with me on this one? Do you want to deal with this anymore?
No.
The Sacramento's gone. I'm so. There he is. You tried.
So loud.
And then they hang up. Well, they had work to do. Yeah, I mean, that's it. That's the last. I think we had three in a row. Didn't we have 3 days in a row with the people going, oh, my stomach is distended and all that. Yeah, F you.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, boys.
The bit is over. Wow. Hey, what's up with you and your tomato?
Buzz is so on today.
What?
Buzz is so funny today. I like to punish him.
Really?
Baby. Yeah.
Well, why don't you talk to him? He's right here.
He's horny as balls.
What kind of punishment do I deserve?
He really is.
Oh, I think you need to be spanked.
Well, all right, then. Begin.
After you coat me in latex, please.
Are you a cougar or a MILF? Or neither.
Is there any difference?
No, there is sometimes. It can be.
There is, darling.
I think I'm both.
How old are you?
I've got a very big birthday coming up this year.
What's it going to be?
40.
40, well, let's
Cougar,
see.
Cougar territory.
Cougar, yeah. Celebrity you think you most resemble, please?
A little Jessica Simpson.
Coming up on 40.
Jessica
Simpson. I'm just trying to do the math
That's
here.
That's kind of bordering on maybe it looks like Lonnie Anderson, maybe it looks like Big Marionette with
a perfect Cougar.
Big fake boob.
We're doing our, our artist aging that they do on America's Most Wanted when they want to show somebody that's aged.
Hold on a second. This morning, I walked past the TV. Janet had The View on, and she said, you got to come here, and you got to look at Beatrice Arthur. I don't know if Beatrice Arthur has been sick. I will give her the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
She was on The View.
As a panelist?
Yeah, she was there with Adrian Barbeau.
Uh-huh.
And they were hawking the first season of Maud that's coming out on DVD.
Maud.
And I couldn't tell. Janet said, look, first she's wearing slippers. And she was, and she had a wig on.
Wow, no.
A wig.
Hot. Oh, no. How long ago? I mean, Maude was old when the show was done, and the show was done, what, in the early 1970s?
Yeah. Beatrice Arthur. And the difference, of course, between Beatrice Arthur and an old shoe.
You can eat an old shoe if you have to. How did Adrian Barbeau look?
You're not giving me any love. Can I have Buzz back, please?
Adrian Barbeau, for an older chick, looked pretty good, and she held up a publicity picture of her boobs. I mean, it was her, but it was really just still those beautiful, fantastic Swamp Thing / Maude boobs.
Swamp Thing. But we are, ma'am, are you going to be in our strip trivia, please?
No, I do have the huge boobs, though. I can't.
No. This does us no good to tell us this if you're not coming to play strip trivia.
Yeah, because I wear
36. Honey, that's the only reason we let you talk to Buzz is because we thought you were going to play strip trivia.
You're just a tease like all the rest.
Well, yeah, maybe this summer. I have to work.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Think of how Maude looked and then add 35 years to it.
Really?
Wow.
That's
she looks good.
It's impossible for Maude Findlay to go braless. It's impossible. I still remember that line. I still remember. And they opened the show with that. And she's just walking with her big, like, sweater cape. Oh, that was a funny show.
She's hot as cotton balls. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
And, of course, if she's ill, you know, our best.
Godspeed.
Our best.
Hope she gets well soon. Come on. I'm very sorry you have to wear a wig. You used to have hair. Maud. The original Bill
it's
Mason.
It's impossible.
It's impossible for Maud Finley to go brawlers. I'm dead too, aren't I?
Yes, you are.
I'm long since dead. Looking to join you, Maud.
She's not dead, though.
She looks dead.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, Don and Mike, can you please unplug the GMC robot?
Again, someone with a level of humor that's so sophisticated.
I look at you, and I hope that you're getting it, and then and when you're not getting it, I...
That GM had that commercial that had a robot committing suicide.
Right off the bridge, but...
And then that guy just
say something that we don't understand and then hang up. That's totally irresponsible.
Very helpful.
Let's talk again about Maud Finley.
Maud, I wish that guy will join you in death. In the sleep of death, Maud. Join me, William Macy.
Is it William Macy or
Bill Macy? Yeah.
Bill Macy. Yeah. Taking it because William Macy is
he stole my name after I went underground. Maud.
And it'd be great. I know he did this a long time ago. If that William Macy was in Fargo.
Oh, that's right. Oh, this is my deal here, Wade. Come on now. This is my deal. You want eggs? All right, welcome to Fargo. I guess that's your fella in the wood chipper. Oh, Maud.
Maud.
I'm going to steal all the money and hire some guys to kidnap my wife. Well, how's she doing? Is she all right? I better ask Steve Buscemi. I'm William Macy. Maud.
Pause, everybody.
Pause.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Frankly, I'm tired.
Too tired to wear a nice pair of panties?
What's wrong with my panties?
They're huge. You know, the biggest thing on a pair of panties should be the tag. That's all I want to see. Tag and ass. Tag and ass.
See, this is what I'm talking about. You see how insensitive he is?
You know, Brenda, maybe I'd be more sensitive if you'd have sex with me. It seems like the only time she wants to have sex with me is to make a baby.
The only time you want to make a baby with me is to have sex.
That doesn't make any sense.
Well, that's because I'm tired. Now we're making progress.
Yeah. The Don and Mike Show.
Right.
It is the sacred day. The day for Don Geronimo and Michael Mella.
Perfect key for that song.
He works with a lot of songs.
Yeah. He really does.
He's a great performer.
MHK.
Triple threat he is.
Mm-hmm.
MHK on the zoo.
Merrill Howard Kalin.
Right. Hey, on the world's greatest website, DonandMikeWebsite.com, have some photos for you to look at today.
Very good.
First, rock and roll genius Phil Spector, Wall of Sound, Ronettes, all that jazz.
Right.
Be My Little Baby.
Trial started yesterday, right?
Sure did. And they decided to give him a nice Clay Aiken haircut.
Really? So gone is the big bouffant.
Here you go, Mike. We'll put this up on our website right now under the Daily Log.
Okay.
That's a picture of Phil Spector. And does he not look like Clay Aiken?
He does.
He gained like 30,000 pounds.
It is a Clay Aiken and a little with a little combination of David Spade and Tommy Boy.
Oh.
Just a tiny bit. But it does beat the dude he had last time.
Got another picture for you that we're going to put on the website today as well.
Yes.
Gene Simmons from Kiss.
Oh, yeah.
Had a facelift.
Mm-hmm.
Here he is after the facelift. I mean, coming right out of surgery.
Oh, dear.
Looks like Rocky Balboa at the end of the Rocky VI, or whatever the latest movie is.
He's a cool guy, right? He let this picture be taken, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
He is a cool guy.
He could use some makeup.
Oh, man, he looks nasty. He's not really recognizable. My pants mysteriously fell down to the floor.
Put him in all kinds of crazy poses.
What the hell's over his boobs? See that? Are those like little drainage things or something? See how he's got the two little catheters that look like...
It looks like blood is in the tube that's going into whatever those pouches are.
Wow. Yeah, it's very, very disturbing looking.
Hey, do we have the audio of Tanya Harding calling 911?
Yes, we do.
Ah, we do. Good.
She's
good. Tanya Harding. Who doesn't love this chick?
I love her.
called 911 to report that there were some kooky, suspicious people outside her place.
Huh. She's not paranoid.
Here we go. Tanya Harding.
911, how can I help you?
Hi, I'm Security up here. Yeah, I call Auto. And I had a customer had a problem earlier. They just came into the shop, and she was requesting to see an officer.
Okay, what's the address there?
We're at 109 West Yakult Road.
What kind of problem was she having?
She's claiming that there's some people missing with her vehicle and stuff.
Okay.
Is she going to get on the phone here in a second?
All right, I haven't heard this. I don't know what this tape is.
I've not heard it either.
I'm predicting maybe she might be a little drunk.
Oh. Is that her boyfriend?
That's her handler.
Her handler, okay. Hmm. So he calls 911 on her behalf.
Right.
Okay.
Hello?
Yeah, what were these people doing to your car?
They were trying to steal it or steal stuff off of it or whatever, and I heard it, and I turned the flashlight on out there to see what was going on, and the person hid behind the Jeep, and then there was a shadow.
Where did this happen exactly?
At my house.
Wait, what is your address?
Sunset Falls Road. And I believe that when we left, I mean, they were all over the place. I seen them. They had rifles. Two guys had rifles. And the one guy was stashing some other rifles right on the side of my property in, like, a camel bag thing or something. And when we left, Tommy, tow truck guy, for here, from the Acolado, he drove. And as soon as we were pulling out of the driveway, there was a girl and two other guys across the street.
Does this sound like some of the calls we were getting earlier?
Yeah. This also sounds to me like I'm listening to my brother and one of his girlfriends on the telephone. Okay, tell me everything that happened. Excuse me. One of his wives. Hi, Marnie. Just in case they're listening on the internet today. How you doing, honey?
I seen him put some rifles into a camo bag.
And my neighbor had come down. And
how long ago did this happen?
How long ago? About half an hour? Is that half an hour? We just got here about 8 minutes ago.
Okay.
But I
not a lot of urgency on the part of this 911 operator, and rightly so. Mm-hmm.
And then they asked her if this was a crank call, and she said, as God is my witness, no.
As God as my witness, no.
God is my witness. May he strike me dead, no.
Tanya Harding.
Do you care, Tanya?
I don't care.
Come on, baby.
Leave me alone.
All right, I thought we had a good talk today.
All right, well, I'm glad we had this little talk. I'm going to go get hammered.
All right, yes, sir.
Yes, sir!
Yes, sir!
Yes, sir!
Yes, sir!
Yes, sir!
Tanya Harding can't stay out of the spotlight.
All right, there she is. There's Tanya Harding. Wow. Oh, hold on a second. We should answer some of these lines. They may be strip trivia contestants.
Hello.
Or they might be great comedic callers. Or they might be total asshats.
Tony Moore, some of that crank, that Tonya Harding is on. Boy, she's a tweaker.
Great comedic caller is a copyrighted feature.
I need some of that good old crank, boy. I'll tell you.
Crank. Hello, Don and Mike's show. Hello.
Hey, I got a girl who's coming up in College Girls of Playboy. I wanted to know if she could call you or if you wanted to check her out.
How about, would she bang Buzz?
Most likely, yes.
Is this your girlfriend?
His daughter. She's
pregnant. His daughter. I'm sorry. Buzz is married. That's he wouldn't bang her.
That's crazy.
How about if she just, like, did some petting with Buzz?
I'm sure that could be arranged.
Or gave Buzz a little lap dance.
Boy, he's got that charisma. I'm sure she'd fall prey to him.
Now, hold on. You're not giving us a straight answer here. We're very, very serious.
I know. This is a very serious show.
Follow through.
Yeah, come on. Step up or I'm going to talk about something else.
Would she do it with Buzz?
No. Not Buzz. You know, not do it.
Listen, if you want to prostitute your daughter, your girlfriend,
whoever,
Buzz Burbank.
All he said was, I got a girl. I got a girl.
Bound and gagged. If you got a girl in your root cellar, mm-hmm. and you want her to meet Buzz, just be upfront about it.
Exactly. That's all we require.
Come strong to the microphone.
Come on.
We want to thank our friends at TMZ.com. They sent over, you know, they have a Washington bureau now.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
And they sent over something that has nothing to do with politics for us today. And it says, Don and Mike, blah, 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 blah. Do you know that Haley... I don't know how to say the chick's name from American Idol. The Haley
Scarfato?
Scarnato?
Scarnato.
Is that her name? Haley Scarnato.
Say that.
Big bone chick.
Hard.
She really exposed her breasts this week on the show.
Oh, really?
You mean the what we're going to see tonight? No, last week on the show. She didn't expose them, but she...
I saw them last week. She had the cleavage going.
She let them out to play last week.
She's going
to
do it again this week, I hope?
Well, no, TMZ.com sent us this. They say that she is using the exact same hair extensions that Catherine McPhee wore last year.
Oh, yeah.
That they're like lucky, and Simon Cowell, of all people, said she looks like Catherine McPhee. Maybe you want to fix her hair like that. So they went and they got the exact same hair extensions.
Oh, wow.
So now I don't want to drive any listeners of our show away. God knows we do a good enough job of that on our own.
Mm-hmm.
But it might be time for us to chat with Dean Banowitz.
Yes, the hair guy.
The hairstylist on American Idol.
The kind
Idol.
Of bipolar hair guy. You know, the guy where we've had him on where he was just so delightfully energetic, and then we've had him on where he was very down and very bored and very distracted and did not want to chat.
Yeah, he's kind of like Ryan Seacrest's Kato Kaelin.
Mm-hmm.
And he even gets a big credit now at the end of American Idol. He's the hairstylist. He's the hairstylist for everyone on that show.
Right. I bet he'd love to come on and talk about that. I'd love to talk about it. Because, I mean, hair is a huge part. They transform these people every single week.
I had not heard that until TMZ called today. It said what's her name's hair? Or not even her hair, just the extensions that she used.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that ratty?
I would think they'd smell.
Isn't that ratty using someone else's hair extensions?
Over I guess they launder them or something like that.
It's like that wig of Rob's. Oh, and I have an update on for you on the other part of Rob's birthday gift.
The helmet?
That I ordered from eBay.
Is it progressing nicely?
You're gonna like this. So it had been, I don't know, like, it's, how long has it been since your birthday?
March 8th was my birthday.
So, 3 weeks.
12 days ago. Mm-hmm. So the week came, and I went back on eBay, and I sent a note to the guy that I bought the Nazi helmet from, right?
Mm-hmm.
Saying, hi, I sent you my PayPal. Where is it? The guy sent me a letter back. It's en route from Germany.
It's authentic. It's from Germany.
The guy is in Germany. The guy with the helmet is in Germany.
And it's not the kind with the spike in it. It's just one of your World War II helmets, right?
No, it's like a Hogan's Heroes one. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's going to look so good under the, you know, with a wig under it.
almost one like that the Tuttles could wear. Oh, and I saw a rerun of American Chopper that I had not seen yesterday. Thank you, TiVo, once again. Oh, what a good TiVo you are. I was flipping through it going, I've not seen this one, fast forwarding it, and I had never seen an episode before with Mrs. Tuttle on it. Now, not
really,
not Paul Sr.'s hot girlfriend. I'm talking about the woman that squeezed out Paul Jr. and Mikey.
I didn't know that she was even part of the show.
Have you ever seen the episode where Paul Jr. goes to what do you call that, I'm having a brain fart.
Driving school?
No.
Rehab.
What did they do in the movie Ghost with Clay? A pottery class.
Pottery class. Paul Jr. goes to a pottery class.
With his mother. And they make bowls. They've got that thing that goes round and round and round.
You're catching this show at the right time because that show is getting better and better. They're doing more stuff like that.
This is an old one that my TiVo picked up because I didn't have it. She looks like Paul Sr. without the mustache.
Mm-hmm. Just kind of that, hey, what are you doing?
She talks just like that, and she's big boned.
Uh-huh. Really?
Big jugs, but a big woman and big bicep arms.
Does she really?
Really?
Is she biker-like? Is she a biker chick, kind of older biker chick broad, or is she like Polish mama? What are they? The Tuttles are like Polish, aren't they?
I would say she looks more like a standard Polish mom.
That's what I would figure. I figured she'd look very, very Slavic and a little Eastern European.
But you aced it with the voice. You aced
She's
it with
got
the voice.
That, okay, Paul, let's make a bowl.
She does.
Come on
she
now.
Does.
You want pierogies? I got pierogies for you.
So it was a good time for me to get together with my mom. Because I hadn't spent a lot of quality time with her. You know, at OCC, I spent a lot of time with my dad. It was nice spending the day together with my mom.
Did you see the one where the Tuttles have Dick Butkus just show up? And you nailed it when you talked about when they have a serious cause. And this time it was Mikey. And Dick Butkus comes in, and he comes in out of the blue, and he wants to talk to them about preventing kids in high school from going on steroids. And there's some amazing statistics that he quotes. And they get done doing this, and they do a close-up shot of Mikey. So we decided that we're going to build a bike for the foundation that kids keep kids off steroids, which is a real good idea. It's like, you can watch that every time now they do that, the Tuttles, because the other guy, Mike, Paul Sr. and Paul Jr. were off shooting their new opening out in the desert.
I saw that.
Where they had the whole camera crew, and oh my God, it's hysterical. But when you mention that, because that's when they showed Paul Sr.'s girlfriend, who's a little POA,
balls.
Taking pictures of this photo shoot where they're just, and you realize when they're doing things out of their bike building, there's a, you know, he said, so what I'll do is, you want me to ride on the right side of the road or the left side of the road?
Oh, I've seen that one. It's a behind the scenes where they show how they actually,
how they make the TV opening that they're doing. And they've got the camera on the crane on the Mercedes Benz.
The
and
car
everything.
Going like 20 miles an hour. And, oh, yeah, because the camera guy says, is there anything better than hanging from this car filming these guys?
And Jesse James would have enjoyed it because at one point they have to stop down shooting because the webbing on one of Paul Jr.'s Spider-Man bikes comes loose and they can't find a bolt for it. So they're off there doing it. But Mikey gave it was textbook as far as promoting this. So we think it's a real good idea if we build this bike for a real good cause. And he sounded, it's usually Paul Jr. that says those things, and he sounded exactly like it. I am so hooked now.
We have to get some audio of those guys doing their voiceovers.
The serious pitches for causes.
It's so distinctive, you know. We didn't know a lot about the Make-A-Wish Foundation, but once they came into the shop, we wanted to make a really special bike. And you know, this is going to be a challenge because we've never made a... Oh, hold on. I've seen the one where they're doing the bike for a fan, and it's a guy that was in a car accident.
I didn't see that one, though.
Okay. So they got to make him a trike because he's paralyzed. Okay. He's paraplegic.
Right.
But he has use of his arms and his head. So... And his shoulders, if you want to be technical.
Right, right. Incidentally, that is exactly how the doctors say it, too. You will have the use of your arms and your head.
I know that I'm one to talk about somebody sounding stupid when they speak. But when they're doing the voiceover, Paul Jr. every time goes, and you know, the more we talk to Brian, the more we realize he's paralyzed. So this is going to really have to be a special bike. You know, it's a tough challenge making for a bike for a paralyzed man. I swear to God, it's the best show on TV.
If we can build a nice bike and help kids with muscular dystrophy, we think it'll be a real fun thing to do. And it's always exactly, it's they stop them down. It's obvious that you know, they're not in the shop and they have to read and memorize whatever the cause is, and you can tell they go from speaking naturally when they're funny, and that guy Mikey is funny as hell, and then they go to reading like the script or memorizing the script every single time they do it.
Somebody around here, see if you can Google a picture of Mrs. Tuttle, Mrs. Tuttle. Mike would love seeing that. And
I didn't know she was even in the picture anymore.
Let me see. We're coming up on our Peter Noon American Idol thing, but next. Oh, we have 10 minutes of valuable time that we'll devote to the Mike O'Mara mystery guest.
Really?
I believe this guest, now, is this guest going to accent his or her voice?
We will make that happen, yes.
Beautiful. Really. And I have the name on it because it's going to be somebody I'm excited about.
You're goddamn right.
Oh, boy.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You have to think of the audience as a child that you're in charge of. And you have to do right by the child. And the child will ask for things that they shouldn't be given. Because it'll make them ultimately less happy. It'll be a better feeling for them. They'll look back on this thing and have something that they experienced in their lives that didn't go to hell.
The Don and Mike Show. The Son likes them. Don and Mike.
I think we used to make fun of Jerry Seinfeld for being pompous and talking down to his audience, and now that's pretty much the model we live by on this show.
What happened to us?
We took too many phone calls, Mike.
Is that what it is?
That's what happened to us. Here we go, mystery guest time. Just for Michael Sean Patrick O'Mara. The phone number, Mike, is 877-365-3636.
When you do this, my mind gets racing. I start... going in 20 different directions. You know, you said that I'll love this mystery guest.
I think you will.
Okay.
What do you think, Rob? Do you think that Rob, do you think Michael will love a mystery guest?
Okay.
You promise, right. Okay. Here we go. And again, you can only ask the mystery guest
yes or no,
yes or no questions. Welcome to today's mystery guest. Hello, mystery guest.
Hello.
Here you go. Mike, how about a yes or no question for the mystery guest?
Mystery guest, are you a household name?
Yes.
Mystery guest, am I playing against the listeners or is it
no,
just me?
Just you, Mike.
Mystery guest, are you known primarily for television?
No.
Mystery guest, are you known primarily for movies?
Yeah.
Wow.
Here's a hint, Mike. One of your
sounds like the answer.
One of your favorite movies, one of your favorite roles, and now I've given you a big elephant-sized hint.
Mystery guest.
Yes.
Are you a man or a woman?
Only yes or no questions, Mike.
Oh, that's right. Mystery guest, are you a man?
No.
So that would mean you're a woman.
That is insulting, Mike.
Wow.
She's all woman.
Yeah.
Oh, so many movies I love, so many movies I like. Mystery guest, is your movie, is the genre of your movies primarily comedy?
No.
Oh. Is it drama?
Yeah.
Wow. It's a drama. I'm trying to think of a drama that... Buzz, you're smiling like you know.
I don't know who it is. I don't.
Mystery guest host Don Geronimo, can you give me another hint by any chance?
Yes, Mike, I shall.
Okay.
Over the years on our show...
Yes.
You have done an impression of this woman, perhaps...
Mystery guest, I know it already.
Who?
Mystery guest, are you Carol Channing?
No,
darn it, I thought I had it.
Okay, let's put 1 minute on the clock now.
All right, I interrupted you, Don, because I thought we were doing that telepathy thing. You were giving me a hint. Over the years, I have.
You have done an impression of this woman.
Yes.
And, more specifically, her film role, maybe 100 times. Her signature line from her most favorite and famous movie... You, my friend, Ace.
Oh, God, you're killing me. Mystery guest, I'm searching.
I want to think of a clue I can give you.
Signature line.
Here's a
drama.
Yes or no? Have you ever worked with Steven Spielberg? Mystery guest. Yes. She's worked with Steven Spielberg, Mike.
I'm smacking things around now because I'm getting frustrated. Mystery guest, did you work with Steven Spielberg when you were a child?
No.
No, she worked with Steven.
Mike,
I'm so sorry. I didn't get it this time around.
Time is up. Let's welcome to the show. Our mystery guest. You knew her. Oh, that's too loud. You knew her as... Carol, the lady who said Carol Ann.
Oh, Carol Ann, the little lady that was in Poltergeist.
Yeah.
Oh, Zelda.
Zelda Rubinstein.
Zelda, how are you?
This is not my best day. I had to make a long airplane trip, and I picked up some chest crap.
You know, I thought you were actually tweaking that up when you were doing that impression.
Mike, do your thing where she says Carol Ann.
Carol Ann, there's evil in this house. Stay away from the light.
How many times? Have you done that 100?
Grab the robe.
Have you done that 100 times?
I've done it forever. It's the greatest role. I think you were fantastic. You know that. Zelda, you were incredible in that movie.
Thank you.
You played the medium, the lady that knew all about the poltergeist, and you were scary and lovable at the same time.
Well, I thought it was a very sympathetic role.
Mm-hmm.
I tried not to be scary.
Right.
Part of my responsibility in doing the film was to be, you know, empathetic to the situation.
Wow. Well, you sold it, Zelda, because, I mean, when I watched that movie, to this day...
You're hot as balls.
I really felt that you were like, that you had experience with that, but you didn't, you know, obviously you're just playing a role, right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And did Craig T. Nelson ever come on to you?
No, he did not.
He did not. He's TV's coach, you know.
Yes, he was fantastic as the father in Poltergeist.
Oh, yeah. I'm very well aware of Craig's charm.
Mm-hmm.
And usefulness as a performer. No, he never came on to me. I only worked 6 days on the film. And that wasn't time to develop anything. Besides which, his wife, Doria, would have killed one of us.
Zelda is in the movie. Remember we had Robert Englund on the phone?
Yeah, another icon in the genre. Right?
She is also featured in the motion picture Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon, which is now playing in select theaters. And we wanted to promote the movie and get a chance for Mike to say hi to one of his favorite ladies, the silver screen.
You were great in that. And then Zelda. You did the other one, too, right? The sequel to Poltergeist, right?
Pardon me?
You did a sequel to Poltergeist
as
well.
Yes, I was in the two films that were sequential to the first.
Who was the actor that played the old preacher man that comes up to the door and goes, "You're going to die in there, little girl, little girl." Who is that actor?
It's the late Julian Beck, who, along with his wife Judith Molina, founded the Living Theater. He's a very honored person in the theater community.
Well, I'd say he was great in that, too. Both of you guys were phenomenal.
It was very nice having you on the show, Zelda. Everybody, please go see Zelda in Behind the Mask.
You got me, Zelda. I'm an enormous fan, and it was a delight to have you on the show.
The Rise of Leslie Vernon. And Zelda, what do you think of Mike's impression of you?
On a scale of 1 to 10, I'll do it again.
Would you do it again, please?
Carol-Ann, stay away from the light. There's evil in this house.
What do you think? Scale of 1 to 10.
11.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you, baby.
How about that?
Thanks, baby. I appreciate it.
Thank you for being on the show, Zelda.
You're very welcome. Cheers.
Cheers.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
That's how we play the Mike O'Meara mystery guest.
That's two weeks in a row, you know, two mystery guests that really do kind of fit the bill right there. Zelda. And she was scary, man. She was scary.
And you have done that literally at least 100 times.
And I also do the one where the little girl's caught in the television. I do that a lot, too. It's like,
Mommy. Mommy.
I forgot you do the old guy, though, standing outside the house. That's
hello, little girl.
Oh, yeah,
let me in. You're going to die down there.
That's they don't make them that many like that.
No, it's true.
That was really a balls-to-the-wall scary movie.
They built the house on a cemetery.
And Craig D. Nelson as the salesman. The house salesman, a perfect role for him. And Joe Beth Williams.
You know, Craig D. Nelson has his moments. He's also very good in the Keanu Reeves movie where, The Devil's Advocate.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He plays the construction guy that murders his wife, right?
And his alibi is the fact that he's having an affair with his secretary or something like that. She's one of the shapeshifters.
He's kind of the slick salesman kind of bad guy, and that seems to be the kind of role that he gets in movies. In film, he's all over the place. I mean, he can play... he can play that kind of guy, but, coach or... What was the district? Was that the show that he was in?
The District.
Yeah. The District, right.
We've gone through the entire Craig T. Nelson biography today.
Yeah. Well, that's because we were having a little difficulty with the Zelda Rubinstein filmography.
You didn't get that name. I don't get that.
No, it was written on a piece of paper. That's why when Rob didn't hand it to me until she came out, and that's when, as soon as I see it at the bottom of the page, I go, Zelda!
Hello, old friend.
Zelda, how are you?
Oh, my love.
How's his name?
When we come back, he'll be on American Idol tonight, coaching all of those people, including the little brown boy.
You're talking about Peter Noon.
Yep, he's on Idol tonight.
I can see that interview taking place.
And we'll talk to him in just a moment.
Pause!
I forgot to ask you a question.
What's that?
Are you wearing any panties?
I'm pantyless. Would you like to see?
No.
Take a look.
Look at
stay away from the light.
Okay, we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, Simon.
Do you sing?
No.
Do you play an instrument?
Guitar, very badly.
Do you read music?
No.
Do you produce albums?
No.
So what actually do you do?
Guess what's going to be popular.
You guess what's going to be popular?
Literally that.
Do you feel at all like a fraud at times?
Well, no, because
I think 99% of the people who watch the show are in the same position as me. They know when somebody's good or not. And for me, it's been a help not knowing too much so I can rely on my instincts.
He's great. The Don and Mike Show. Sorry, Buzz, but he is.
Yeah.
Told you, Simon Cowell picks a little ass.
I love YouTube.
Time out, everybody. Talk to the great Peter Noon.
I actually went back.
The juice they give you. The Don and Mike Show.
I went back on YouTube and watched that whole interview with Simon, and he was fantastic.
Joining us now is the guy who's going to be on American Idol tonight. It's the British Invasion Night, and they got Peter Noon from Herman's Hermits, who's going to be coaching all the people, including, you know, the little brown boy.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they're going to be working with the entire catalog of the British British
Invasion, right? British Invasion, right?
Here he is now, the great Peter Noon. Hey, Peter.
Hey, Don and Mike, how you doing?
Great to have you on the show. I have seen Peter Noon with Herman's Hermits. I'm a bit of an oldies freak. So whenever there is one of those traveling caravan shows where it's like Dennis Yost and the Classics Four, Peter Noon and Herman's Hermits, The Grassroots, Hamilton, Joe Frank and Reynolds, I go to all those shows.
Right.
Seen you a million times. Love the songs. How did you get the gig on American Idol this week?
They were doing the British Invasion, so they... I don't know who else they could get. If they're doing the British Invasion, I'm the only one who's still lucid, aren't I?
You're the only one who's still lucid. You know, I grew up, and I remember... Everybody remembers that. You know, and you get asked all the time, I'm Henry VIII, I am, and I don't know whether you can tip the hand as to whether anybody is going to be attempting that classic tonight. Is anybody going to be singing that?
Will anybody do any of your songs?
I'm not supposed to tell you what they're choosing, but nobody did choose that one. That would be a very, very bad choice, but it would be an unforgettable choice.
That's for sure.
I bet you somebody chooses, there's a kind of a hush all over the world tonight.
That's a classic right there.
I took that one out of the thing because I'm going to sing it tomorrow night.
Uh-huh. Oh, you're going to sing it tomorrow night.
Everybody went that one, but they said, sorry, Peter Noon has chosen that
one. When you get selected to help the contestants on American Idol, how much of a time commitment is it? How much time do you, I mean, do you go in for a day? Do you go in for a few hours? How long does it take
to I make commitments in my life, so I committed. I went for about 7 or 8 hours on Sunday. I'm going in for 3 or 4 hours today and 4 or 5 hours tomorrow. So, you know, this is next big star in America. You want to help them as much as possible. You know, I've been very gentle. I got the 5 boys that are left, or 5 men. Mm-hmm. And Lulu, who's also lucid and from Britain, she's got the 6 girls.
Oh, interesting. I like that.
So I've been coaching the guys. I just think they're all great singers. They're all better than anybody in the charts already.
Here's a question for you. Peter, we watched the show. We love the show. Wondering about song selection. Because they'll have the snippets tonight where you're sitting in a studio or at a piano with each of these contestants. Did you have any input at all to say to them, these are songs that were out 40 years ago,
right?
This would be a good one for you, this would be a good one for you, or do they just choose from listening to an MP3?
Well, the good thing is I think that they all chose the songs themselves. Maybe they went to a British Invasion website and looked at all the songs and then choose the ones that they know. But they've all chosen really great songs, you know, and I think... part of the thing is to be able to choose good songs. I think that's one of the things that is a requirement in show business.
Absolutely.
To choose songs. It's like I never chose to sing any Jackie Wilson songs or any James Brown songs.
Do you think?
You know, I chose to sing the songs that suited my voice. So none of these guys have chosen any James Brown shows anyway, because he wasn't from England.
Do you think that there's a chance tonight that while the show is on, that Simon will reference you? Last week, Simon Cowell said, Diana Ross is wailing in Beverly Hills, and she was watching these people butcher her songs. Do you think tonight that he's going to say, somewhere in Beverly Hills, Peter Noon is thinking about jumping off a balcony?
No, I don't think so. I think my guys are going to do great. Truthfully, I think he was being mean to that guy. But that's okay. You're allowed an opinion.
Well, that's his job.
You know,
and
suppose what will you do if that guy wins? Because Simon says it's a song about, it's a singing competition, but it's not. It's a voting competition. It's the person who most people like.
That's true.
And that has never been anything to do with the best singer. Otherwise, Herman's Hermits would never have got in the charts. You know, that guy who became the cantor in my synagogue would have been in the charts.
Now, you spend a lot of time, do you live primarily in the United States now? Do you live in Ireland, England? Where's your primary residence now?
I live in Santa Barbara, California, and okay. London.
So you watch the show, and then you're a fan of the show Idol? You watch it a lot?
Yeah, you know, it's a family show, so there's not very many of those that you can watch, is it? If you don't want to see the latest on Anna Nicole Smith, then you have to watch American Idol. That's the show she isn't on.
You've got to know that at least here in America, I don't know what it's like in Pop Idol or The X Factor in Britain, but in America, you have such a coveted slot being on that show tonight and tomorrow night. They have to have said to you, you're going to sell an S load of records in the next week. How exciting is that? Seriously, dude, how exciting is that for you?
You know, I hope it just makes people realize that Herman Summits are one of the big bands from the period, and that I'm the survivor from all that. You know, that I'm the clean cut guy that everyone said you'll have 10 in show business, and 40 years later, here I am with a fantastic life and a career. You know what I mean? I do hundreds of concerts. You know, I do 120 a year in the United States. So, you know, I'm a testament to that. Like, you know, all these other bands were being cool, and I was being uncool. But guess what? I'm alive.
That's true. You are alive, and you're still touring.
And as I mentioned, if you could take another compliment, really, I have seen you quite a few times. I even saw you one time on a cruise ship. My wife and I took a cruise that had...
What were you doing on a cruise?
It was you, I think, and Gary Puckett and a bunch of other people, and I would just have died and gone to hog heaven. I was getting drunk on a cruise ship watching you sing Dandy. Dandy.
Isn't that great?
Dandy.
Well, I've done everything. You know, I mean, I've been on cruise ships, I've been on Broadway, I've been in British television plays, and, you know, I mean, I've had a great career, which carries on and on and on. But sometimes if you don't do shows like American Idol, people don't know you're alive.
But that is a grind, too, I would imagine. How long have you been maintaining that? Did you say 100, 160 shows a year, you said?
You know, this year 150, but we average at 1 point a year since about the last 7 or 8 years.
And do you have any guys that have been with you the whole ride?
Yeah.
Oh, that's incredible. That's you got to like the... You must have good relationships for that.
Oops, I think I went in a dead zone. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We got you.
Hey, okay.
Peter, tonight, when you're on the show tonight with the British Invasion, with these people, and you said you're working with the guys, and you think they're very talented, what if they're doing a song, and you won't tell us the song, let's say it's a very famous song, like, I don't know, Peter and Gordon Go to Pieces, or
right.
Who knows, whatever, and they totally botch it. Will you at some level go, I have just screwed over Peter and Gordon, I have just screwed over the Who.
Do the producers of the show encourage you to be harsh, to be as critical as you can, or do they say, you know, do they direct you in such a way to say, be a little bit more supportive?
They'll direct all the energy of the contestants. You know, I'm out of it now. I've done all I can. I'm just going to go there early and say, oh, guys, and be good. And then the judges will say, you can
work. Yeah, we are totally. Hello, Peter.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
Pete.
That's unfortunate.
That's a shame. Funny guy.
He didn't
say the WN word.
No, he didn't. No, he was going through one of those.
He was the bad son. The cell was getting progressively worse.
In the valley or something.
Right. If he's near his... he's in L.A., obviously. If he's out there doing the show now.
Okay, except that he did the stuff this weekend, taped stuff over the weekend.
I guess what he was saying is they direct all their energy towards the contestants, and he can kind of do what he wants there. If he wants to be hypercritical, he can. If he doesn't want to be, he doesn't.
What if he gets the brown boy to sing this? Boy, would he butcher this.
Every time I see you looking my way, baby, baby, can't you hear my heartbeat?
Sangea.
You know, you're more of a fan of the British Invasion than I am. I mean, I know Herman Servants. That's it. But you know all. You were mentioning those other artists.
All the pieces, bits and pieces. Is that Dave Clark 5?
That's the Dave Clark 5. Peter and Gordon did World Without Love.
You mentioned
it. Yeah.
Manfred Mann would count.
Yeah, and the Beatles, although I don't think they have licensed the Beatles.
Yeah, they can't do the Beatles.
The Bee Gees at the time were part of that as well.
Yeah, but those would be hard songs to do. I mean, they do a
Bee Gees. Yeah. Who can do that?
Almost impossible.
Yeah. Do you think anybody will be wearing a Revolutionary War coat with a ponytail? That's what, you know what? Sangea is going to be in a wig this week. Tangina.
Dandy. Where
are
you
going to
go now?
I meant this. I was on a cruise ship with Frida watching this guy. I was really half in the bag. And I said to her, something like, if he's got any balls, he'll do dandy. He's got any balls at all.
And he did.
I was like, oh my God, he's got balls.
Dandy, dandy.
Did he have the full band with him, or was it like him and a guitar? Or?
No, it was a backup band. It was one of those typical oldies things where
right.
it was a backup band, a guy with a synthesizer, a guy with a drum kit, and a guy with a guitar.
Right.
And then the singer from all of these different groups came up, and he was, you know, he's Herman's Hermits.
Mm-hmm.
And then Gary Puckett was Gary Puckett in Union Gap. So, no, it was like one guy with a box full of music.
Wow.
You know,
wow.
It's all electro.
Oh, I'm Henry the Eighth. I don't know if it was just my house where that was popular or growing up. I mean, when I was a little kid, my sister dug that song, and that's, you know, everybody was singing
that.
Had
a million hits, Herman's Hermits.
That's the only one, maybe because I was a little kid, right? That's the one I remember.
Second verse, same as the first. Anybody goes on tonight does this song, they get killed immediately.
I think this was, if I was Sanjaya, this is a, or Sangea, Sangina, this is the song that
that's
I would do.
That's his name, Sangina.
Henry, with a Willie or a Sam. I'm the eighth, oh man, I'm Henry
the eighth, I am.
Second verse. Same as the first.
I'm Henry the Eighth,
and so on.
There you go. Yeah, and so on.
Well, that's the only one I remember.
Uh-huh.
The rest of the British invasion, you know, is kind of a blur to me.
I would say that he got the short end of the stick. If he got the guys,
yeah, well, they got to do it that way, right?
I mean, he got the coach of the guys.
Actually, I would have. Why don't we mix and match?
He said they were very talented. He said,
well, he's being nice. Of course, what's he going to say?
Wow.
They're the worst singers I've ever seen, especially the brown Indian boy.
I have to tell you that I think the one with the bald head is positively ghastly.
He had skin like a cup of coffee.
I said they were
delightful.
They're very lovely chaps, but none of them can sing a lick.
Okay, off you go.
He's from Ireland, though. I was reading his bio. He's Irish. He's not British.
Huh. Doesn't sound at all Irish. Sounds like he's more British. Hello.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, Don and Mike. I'd like to know if the turtles were part of the British invasion.
The turtles?
The turtles?
No. No, the turtles are American, you idiot.
And they're also delightful caramel candies you can eat.
Flo and Eddie, the turtles.
Hello.
Happy together. Mm-hmm. You, babe.
Mrs. Brown, you got a lovely daughter.
Eleanor.
Is that him calling back?
Eleanor G., I think you're swell.
Might be.
Is that him?
Not at all, Peter. Hang on.
I got to put his record back in.
Quick.
He's going to write back in the machine.
Hey, sorry about that, Pete. You were going through a bad sell and we just lost you.
Well, another singular moment.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That sounds better.
How great is that now? Let me play him back in here. Hello?
This is called the old-fashioned system. You know, I'm in Los Angeles.
Oh, wonderful.
The cell phone hasn't been invented in Los Angeles yet, so people don't use it. So why would they have cell service that works around L.A.?
Such a backward city.
Peter, now that we can really hear you, here's another question. We are such fans of this show. Do you have any idea, seriously, what a big friggin' deal it is for you to be on American Idol? Really?
You know, once years and years ago, I saw Neil Sedaka on it, and he said it was the best thing that ever happened in his career.
Oh, absolutely.
So that night, I got Nigel. You know, I know Nigel, who's the producer of this show.
Uh-huh.
And I called Nigel, and I said, listen, Nigel, I've got a great idea. I just spoke to Neil. I said, I have a great idea. A British invasion show where they all sing a British invasion song and you get British people like me. And he said, that's a fantastic idea. I'll get back to you. So 2 years later, it becomes his idea, and now it's a good one.
Well, they got to come up with those themes. I mean, that is kind of limited. You know, they really have to make sure they have a new theme when they're doing these evenings.
Hey, here's another question for you. We were having this discussion last week with Diana Ross and the genre of music. When you've got these kids that are, some of them like 17, 18, and you're talking about songs that are from the British invasion 30, 40 years ago,
mm-hmm.
to us, they are the soundtrack really of our entire lives. It's like, how could anybody not know these songs? But there are so many songs that they don't know. Did you see them when they were looking at the songs?
No, I saw them when they're chosen songs, but you know, the logic is the opposite of what you think, because they're going to choose songs that they've heard of.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, you show a list of people 100 songs and they'll see songs and you know, they'll look and they'll go, oh, I'm into something good. I've heard of that. Oh, she's not there. The Zombies. Oh, I've heard that. You know what I mean?
So by the time they get to you, they've already picked their songs out.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They have to pick their own songs. Otherwise, it's all over, isn't it? They pick their own songs and all my guys did a great job. I mean, they've picked the really diverse, you know, songs that match their voices. Now, the only thing they had to do that they didn't do when they showed me the songs was make it sound like it was their song. Do you know what I mean?
And here's a question for you as a performer. I've noticed all of the women on the show this year have a stage presence, mm-hmm. and they have a real confidence. And when they come out to sing, they come out to sing. Mm-hmm. And when the guys come out, they're very timid. Did you notice that? And do you think that any of the guys tonight will come forward and just knock our junk in the ground?
You know what it is? It's the time of the season. You know, it's because Justin Timberlake is timid on the TV, you know, kind of timid and and they really need to get a teen idol in America who's a bit more like Paul McCartney and a bit more outgoing and
right.
also funny in interviews and takes on the press on a comedy level instead of, yes, and, you know, well, me and Cam are going shopping together in Beverly Hills. You know, there once was, you know, I'm sure record buyers out there are dreaming of the day when there's a line outside the record store and it's all girls who've just discovered something as good as the Beatles. Any one of these guys could be like, you know, there's a couple of guys specifically who they've got rock star looks already.
Right.
They just got, you know, the confidence of being a rock star comes by being it, not pretending to be one. You know, you can pretend to be a rock star in a karaoke bar, but you can't pretend to be a rock star in the rock business. You have to actually become it. So bit by the bit, these guys will take over, and, you know, whoever wins 2 years from now, they'll go, Peter who? It's like Elvis, like Elvis Presley said to me one time, who are you?
You see, this is what sets you apart. This is why you're going to be good on this show, as I mentioned.
Yeah, absolutely.
When I've gone on these oldies shows, I've always been very impressed by the fact that you are who you are. You're Peter Noon. You're happy to perform the songs, and it's never appeared to me that you're up there like going, oh, I have to sing. It's like, you're proud of the songs, and you should be.
Well, I go to
concerts, and I've seen people who don't seem to be that impressed with their own work. Well, I wouldn't be that insulting to myself.
Yeah.
You know, they're my records. Not many people have had a hit record. I had hit records that people remember. I'm really proud of my career.
And do people call, this is going way back, and I seem to have a memory of this, people call you Herman a lot?
People still call me Herman.
I see, because, I mean, Herman's Hermits. It was Peter Noon,
right.
But it wasn't Peter Noon with Herman's Hermits. It was Herman's Hermits.
Oh, I was Herman until about 1972. That's
pretty
cool.
Okay,
my mom called me Herman because when she told her friends, my son Peter, they go, who's that? She goes, you know Herman.
Good answer. That's the one I wanted. All right.
Yeah.
All right, fantastic.
And as opposed to the British version of the show, Pop Idol and the X Factor, those shows, are those shows as big in Britain as American Idol is?
Oh, yeah, that's where they started it. I mean, they're huge over there. I mean, every year there's a new star from that thing in England. They're not quite as long-lasting as the ones over here. You know, Kelly Clarkson is a good singer, and the Carrie Underwood is a good singer. So there's people who've got, the ones who've won in America have got legs. So, you know, it's a small country, England. This is a big country. You can tour all year round, and people don't even know you're on tour.
Okay. All right. Good stuff.
Amen. Well, it's been great talking to you. I'm so glad you called back. It was a bad cell phone. We're big fans. We think you're going to do great tonight on American Idol. We'll all be watching. And you just wait. You're going to sell, I don't know, 100 CDs tonight.
I hope everybody just goes to like Google the word Peter Noon and say, who is that bloke?
You better believe they're going
to
do that.
And they find their way to my website, and they send me an email, and then they become fans, and then I can sell them a T-shirt and maybe a house in Florida or something. When I retire.
Thank you so much for your time, dude. You're a really great
take
guy.
Take care. God bless.
Thank you, Peter.
Nice talking to you guys.
Bye-bye.
You got it. Bye-bye. Peter Noon.
Cool. Hey, that's how you keep that going. I mean, you know, he's on cruise ships. He's making money. That's the bottom line.
So I guess he doesn't, like, have an album out at Target this week, right?
I don't think so. No. I think he's just, you heard the way it happened. He had the idea for the British invasion, and now he's doing it. He's finally doing it.
I want to send this one out to a horny guy named Buzz Burbank.
People.
He's
so horny.
I don't know this one.
I love this.
You do like this one.
I do. I like everything they do.
I know you like this one, but I saw you cocking your head that way when it started up.
The ladies liked him, too. I remember that. With his little dimples.
He used to get a lot of stink, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well, I think he did.
My hero.
Absolutely.
Who's your hero, huh? Oh, I love this one.
He's got a good attitude. A lesser man would have shot himself by now.
Somebody will do this.
Having to sing this song 8,000 times.
Somebody will definitely do this on the show. Sanjayas.
Sangina.
I think he tipped his hand. I think one of the guys is going to do that zombie song, Time of the Season.
Oh, really?
He mentioned it. I think it was sort of a Freudian
could be.
Clip.
Could be.
Oh, this is the one that he's keeping for himself for tomorrow night.
Right?
That's a good hit.
I forgot this was him. You've heard this in dentist's office all over America.
All right, good.
Now, somehow I associate that with Dennis.
Well, I'm not surprised.
There's a kind of hush with the fingers in my mouth.
There you go. There's Peter Noonby on American Idol tonight. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I'd like to tell Don how totally wrong he is about Simon Cowell.
Well, you're on the air. First off, dumbass, you're on the air with us and you're speaking to me. How am I so wrong about Simon Cowell?
Dude, he has ruined the music industry. There is no Led Zeppelins, there's no Beatles, there's no band.
And it's Simon Cowell's fault.
That has nothing to do with Simon Cowell.
The way music is today, that was long before American Idol ever came on the air, dude.
As a matter of fact, I would go so far as to say I think Simon Cowell is maybe this show, not Simon Cowell, but the show itself, is actually keeping certain areas still alive and kicking. It's helping, if anything.
No, it's making that same formula over-repeating itself. It's not allowing any
artists. You're wrong, that there is no formula, because you've had a country artist, you've had an R&B artist, you've had a rock artist, you've had all different genres of music win on American Idol.
Hold on, please. The show, in my humble estimation, is a pop music show. It's got nothing to do with Led Zeppelin, Floyd, any of the bands that you're mentioning. It's not Simon Cowell's fault that there's not another Nirvana out there right now.
Right.
It is Simon Cowell's fault because he's the one who puts the money up. He's the one who brings these people to Sony. He's the one deciding.
That's right. Simon Cowell is God. Simon Cowell is God. All hail Simon Cowell. Let's rub his belly for luck.
Exactly. I agree with you. Now, thank you. Off you go.
Well, the way you sound it, you sound like, you know, he is God, and he's not. He's just
He is God. You know what? Simon Cowell is more of a rocker than Led Zeppelin ever was.
Yeah, just ask him.
That's right, man. Simon Cowell's more of a rocker than John Lennon ever was.
Exactly. Is there going to ever be another John Lennon? No.
Yes, there is, and his name is Simon Cowell.
As soon as he learns to sing.
Guys like Simon Cowell keep those John Lennons off of record labels. They don't.
Simon Cowell is as great as the Stones all put together, dude.
I know. Just ask him. And here you guys are thinking he's the greatest thing ever. And Don, you should be ashamed of yourself. Come from the music industry. You spun those records. You know what good music is.
You douchebag. You don't know anything about music. Simon Cowell, some jerk off on TV who invented a show.
And now all of us have to suffer and listen to the crap that he puts on the air.
No, you don't. Who's forcing you to watch American Idol? Who's forcing
because
you to
Because there's nothing. There is no
other. Don't say because there's nothing else on.
No, there are no other artists that can come out nowadays.
Oh,
and
that's
have
so not true.
Oh, please.
That's because so not true. You're basically ignoring all other artists. So you're saying the only artists that are going to get radio airplay are artists that that come through American Idol and that Simon Cowell produces.
He has 78 people right now on the chart. 78 of his artists are on the chart.
And because he is God.
Including the Wiggles.
He has a huge stranglehold on the music industry.
Because he's God.
And you should be ashamed of
him. Because Simon Cowell came down from heaven and said he's going to do away with Led Zeppelin.
And replace them with Il Divo.
And Elliot Yameen.
I heard his albums out today. Jesus.
Then show me what artists are allowed to grow nowadays. Show me what artists
are allowed.
Because of the formula.
Do you ever, hello, stop blaming Simon Cowell for the way the music industry is. If there was a band out there to begin with that could rock, this has nothing to do with Simon Cowell. first off, the way our society is, it used to be if you were a band and you could rock and you put out a record and you sold 100,000 copies, the record company would say, that's a good start. Maybe your next album will sell 200,000 copies and your next album will sell 1 million copies. The way it is today, hey, douchebag, the way it is today is if you don't sell $1 million right out of the chute.
1 million copies.
Yeah, that's it. You're done. Forget it. It is totally...
Because of Simon Cowell.
No, because of the society that we live in today.
He is the epitome of producers.
Shut up! He is God!
And, you should work on your language a little bit there. He is not the epitome of producers.
Simon Cowell is God! Simon Cowell invented everything! Simon Cowell invented Howard Stern!
Wow.
There, I said it!
Oh, now that's when the black hole happens. That's when the space vortex occurs. Simon Cowell and Howard Stern out there. And we all get sucked into the black hole. Wow.
Okay. Goddamn. Well, lines are hot, but we got a break.
That caller wasn't as nice as Peter Noon was.
No, not at all.
If Simon Cowell had been around when Peter Noon was coming up, he wouldn't have been Herman's Hermits. Wouldn't have happened.
Right? Okay, off you go.
Thank you very much, Simon.
There you go. What a great guy. Don't you talk that way about my God.
Simon.
Who are you talking about?
You know what I always tell you? You know, you're never gonna succeed backing the underdogs like you do.
Yeah, Simon
really,
Cowell's
stop
not,
going out on that limb and backing Simon.
He's not popular.
Flash in the pan.
Well, the guy's right. He's ruined everything, Mike.
He's ruined life. And you know what? Because of Simon Cowell, you don't see any good movie stars anymore. Doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. Doesn't happen at all.
And the weather's bad.
Mm-hmm.
Why we're in Iraq, really, Simon Cowell.
After Will Ferrell's done, as you said, making his last movie, and we don't get any more Will Ferrell movies, because of Simon, we won't have any artists anymore.
And I'm getting a hemorrhoid.
Well.
Because of Simon Cowell.
That's right.
No, now tell the truth. Simon Cowell cured your hemorrhoids.
It's a love hemorrhoid.
Love-roid.
Now we're talking. Now we're talking my language.
The love-roid, Mike.
That'll be a wonderful album. Love hemorrhoid.
It looks like the picture of that nipple on the woman's foot that we have on our website.
But it's an LH. It's a love hemorrhoid.
Okay. Let's do a break and clear the decks here.
The album is called Love Hemorrhoid. Don Geronimo with Slipknot.
We'll come back and we'll either take phone calls from people who want to argue because no one ever calls just to say, hey, I like the show. Uh-huh. People always have to call to bust balls.
Well, that would be very boring.
Or I think we found a website that has the Tuttles talking so that we can critique each of the Tuttles the way that they speak on American Chopper.
Don straightened that guy out, which is a good detail.
You know, I've been working with Mike a long time. I think Mike would like a segment where we listen to the Tuttles.
I think that'd be a good idea. So we decided we'd do it because it's fun and people like to write it.
Here's the one thing, Paul Sr. It's Idear. I-D-E-R.
Idear.
I-D-E-A-R.
Paulie Jr. had the idea to put the logo for MDA on the side of the bike, which we thought would really please the kids. It was fun, and we liked doing it. Then we were off to shoot a commercial.
You know, once I found out that these kids can't walk, I said, walking's a good thing, and they can't walk. So, you know, we really learned a lot making this bike together.
Not only did we build a nice bike, we felt really, really good about ourselves after we did it. Then we went down to my dad's pond and built a deck. And they took cameras along. Because watching us stand in the water and build a deck in dad's pond is lots of fun.
We can do this all day. We'll devote the next break to it. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Whose car is that out front?
Mine. 1970 Pontiac Firebird, the car I've always wanted, and now I have it. I rule.
Uh-huh, where's the Camry?
I traded it in.
Shouldn't you have consulted me first?
Let me think. No, you never drove it.
Where's Jane?
Jane not home. We have... the whole house. To ourselves.
Yeah, baby.
It's going to get rejected. It's a shame.
When did you become so joyless?
Reject a woman and she will never let it go. One of the many defects of their kind. Also, weak arms.
Joyless?
I'm not joyless. There happens to be a lot about me that you don't know, Mr. Sparty Man. There's plenty of joy in my life.
The Don and Mike.
Wow.
Hi, baby.
Even better than a porno book. The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, come on. What's better than a stroke bag?
Hi, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
We're doing great, thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to call and tell you guys, thanks for having Peter Noonan on. That brought back a lot of memories, and he sounds like a really
nice Peter
guy.
I like Peter Noonan. Don't you like Peter Noonan, Mike?
Peter Noonan's one of my favorite, absolutely.
I like that character from Caddyshack, Danny Noon.
Danny Noon is fantastic. That's it. I don't think we're going to get any further with that at all.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I want to know why the traffic chick's voice went from being a girl to a guy.
Sometimes they switch shifts.
You know, once again, it's the subtle humor that our listeners just don't get.
Mm-hmm. No.
If the chick that does the traffic is taking a day off and they have a guy sit in, we think it's funny if he says his name is Michelle Hughes.
Yeah.
Because it's obvious he's a man with a woman's name.
Get it?
Sex change operations?
Now, their real names are Thomas Wagner and Teresa Wagner. That's the simple name. That's all they have. Martin.
You guys go to hell, okay?
Tom, you guys go to hell, okay. Isn't that nice?
See you there. Why don't you eat one, pal?
Hey, go ahead and eat one. And they're gone. Yeah. That seems to be the theme of today's show.
Another friend.
Hit and run.
Why don't you eat our nads?
Eat our nasties.
Delicious.
Eat our nasties?
Eat our gribblies. Eat our Klingons.
Klingons and nasties. It's another album title.
Chew our Klingons. Hello, Don and Mike Show. It's a love affair with the audience.
It is. It's happening today. I feel the love. It's coming out of the radio.
Hello.
Hello.
I'll try this one.
Hello.
Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, your guys are great.
Mrs. Brown, you've got a lovely daughter.
Mrs. Robinson, you have a lovely daughter.
I'm turning Japanese. Yes, I think turning Japanese. Get out of here. Where's the American chopper stuff? You got that?
Yes, right.
The Tuttles?
Let's do that.
The Tuttles?
Yes, let's do that. Now, the Tuttles, we've done our best to try to explain their ability to do the voiceover part.
Mm-hmm. You put it this way. You said that when they get to the serious stuff where they're doing a pitch for some cause or even for some event, they get that, we've memorized the copy voice.
It's pre-written, they have one tone, one cadence they use.
Right.
Paulie Jr. says, you know, all the time, all the freaking time.
Right.
Let's roll it here, Rob, from the web. What are you trying to find?
Find the blooper reel.
There you go, right here, blooper number two.
Let's do.
Here you go. Let's hear some American chopper.
Hey, that was a computer sound.
Yeah. So you can hear the guys that we're talking about. Here we go.
You're watching the Discovery Channel.
All right, Mikey, why don't you now do get step to the camera?
Step to?
Yeah, step towards the camera.
Mellow Mikey.
Walk up.
Like, we're always trying to take over the whole frame.
Yeah, get in front of us. What do you mean? Have a step in as we go?
Try to block us out.
Yeah, try to block us out, Mike. After the line.
Action.
You're watching the Discovery Channel.
Where's the stuff that they were listening to in the other room where they were actually doing narration and stuff?
My moment.
I think it was a blooper reel one or three.
Oh, hold on a second. I know everybody likes to help on the show. Hey, Joe?
Yes?
Joe the helper. Where's the stuff when I went back there where you were just listening to them saying, and you know, we really learned a lot about not only ourselves, but making a bike.
Well, you mean Ewan McGregor?
Is that the Ewan
piece? Ewan McGregor. Thank you, Rob.
It's the very first one if you just put in American Chopper.
There we go. We got it. Thank you. Thank you, Joe.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Tuttles.
How are you doing, Joe?
All right, this is when they went to London.
Oh, motorcycle.
I'm riding this.
You know, we've been in London for a couple days, and we've used just about every means of transportation except for motorcycles, so it's going to be nice to get on some bikes and ride a little bit.
There you go. Hold on. Pause.
He's not here
in about
20 minutes.
There it is.
Isn't that exactly the tone? You know, we've been here a long time. It's time we ride some bikes.
You know that is their least favorite part of the show.
Oh, sure.
When they have to go into the
studio
and do the voiceovers.
own.
I don't know.
Yeah, we only know really one person here in London, and that's you and McGregor. So hopefully he'll come out and ride with us, and we'll have some fun.
We're going to bring his Scottish neck. When he came to our shop, we did a little riding with him. So we're over here in his neck of the woods, and now we're going to do a little riding with him.
Listening to the Tuttles on the radio is funny.
Oh, that's a BS.
Tuttles are great.
Yeah, they are.
You're late.
They kick ass. What we got to do is get to the part of this episode where they just start talking to the camera again.
He's nice. Hey, you know, Ewing finally showed up. He was a little bit late, but he did show up. What year is that?
1969.
69.
Man,
that thing is
650 twin.
Beautiful. You had a 69 BSA, which is it's a really cool bike. It's kind of.
We need more Paul Jr. talking.
He's the one that struggles, and you know he has the workload, beautiful. Just like in the shop. When it comes time to narrate, they give it to Paul Jr.
And you know, when Don and Mike said they were going to play some of our audio, we were all a little scared, but it worked out great, and we made a great bike for the retarded listeners of the Don and Mike show.
It was fun.
And you know, we learned a lot.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's do this.
Okay.
Here comes some narration, I bet.
This is just them on the road with you and McGregor.
We got out a little bit. The weather's unbelievable here right now. And it was nice to see Ewan again and then get some riding in. Overall, it was pretty cool.
That's not a glaring example of it, but it's very similar when they do their little speeches. Paulie, how would you summarize the day with you and McGregor?
Is there anything at all on this website that would have them doing the regular shtick?
You know what I mean. If we get people to roll tape on
it. I've got 8,000 of them on my TiVo.
You save them?
Yeah. I got like 35 there. My emergency stash of American Chopper.
You got to get a bike, dude.
It just has a certain feeling about it.
London was really neat. You know, they talked with different accents.
We arrived here at Brooklyn Museum.
Woo, woo, woo.
Which is focused on preserving a lot of the bikes from Britain's past.
How you doing? This is
what I'm saying.
How you doing?
Hi. Well.
Are we in Brooklyn?
Just summarize their experience at the museum.
These old bikes.
I'll give you a quick tour around the bikes that we've got here.
Here we go. They're out of their league now.
One of the things we really wanted to do on this trip was really get a little taste of British motorcycle culture.
And this bike is actually a replica of a bike which holds the...
And you know, these bikes really gave me some good ideas.
Mile an hour.
Wow. You know, the thing I think that's most interesting about the British bikes is that they really have a big history of racing.
And they awarded a gold star for 100 mile an hour.
He's too great.
Uh-huh. It's similar to what they're doing when they're talking about charity. They go to a museum. It's a motorcycle museum, but it's a museum nonetheless.
We really have to get the tape of them talking about building the bikes for the various charities.
It's always the same. This is their narration when they're it turns the show from a reality show into a school project.
Because you know, we went and we met the kids, and they're real good, and we think that this just might help their day, and we might learn a little bit about burn victims, too.
It always ends like that.
And you know, we never really built a burn victim bike before. Vinny came up with some great design ideas.
We took Vinny's bike out on the road. We thought it was a great bike, and also it helped people with bad diseases.
Ideas to looking at some of the technology on these bikes in the 20s and the 30s.
Look at that motor.
It just went that way. It's done.
And the speed that these bikes can do.
He did 100 miles an hour on this bike.
Yeah.
These people were way ahead of their time.
That's a cool looking. This is a cool looking tank. This would be nice on an old school bike, you know?
Yeah.
You know, looking at these bikes, it kind of gives you some ideas to incorporate in some of the, maybe the older school bikes that.
I told you, it's like
exactly. Give you some ideas to incorporate into our bikes, which is a fun thing. Thing, cool, uh-huh. Happy, sad, hungry, poop.
And you know.
Right.
You know, when we first met Ewan, he was a pretty cool dude. As it turns out, we had a lot to learn about London.
bank on it was pretty extreme for its time.
All right, here he comes.
Clear out.
The tunnels.
This track was closed, I think, in 1939, and yet they used to ride around here average speed of 100 miles an hour around the track. They didn't have any brakes.
There's some more tunnels.
Pump the oil around the engine.
I don't care about you and McGregor.
And they had no throttles. They had to
come on. And they had no throttles.
Nightmare.
The next thing, you got to get your bum up in the air.
Get your bum. Paul Tuttle's big bum.
We've had way too many British people on the show today.
They were bent over the tank and lifting themselves slightly off the seat.
You've got no suspension.
Come on, just a little more, Paul.
Your legs, too.
Please.
Hey. Like made of iron, these guys.
Paul Senior, you're crap. Now they're putting a helmet on Paulie.
Ride is 1938 AJS.
One up, two
down. Yeah, but you don't need the two down.
It's always when they give the summary of the museum.
Right.
At the very end, we really thought that this was really a neat...
Yeah, go all the way to the very end of this.
30 seconds.
Here we go, okay.
Experience. I mean, once you get the hang of that thing, you really don't want to get off it.
When you come off this, you're really dropping down a lot, you know.
We got a chance to ride the old AJ.
Right, this is the last 20 seconds. Let's hear if they do end with them saying, you know...
And it was incredible.
It was a good experience.
That was very cool. You know, we had a great time with Ewan today. It was really nice of him to bring us out to Brooklands and give us a little British history. Thank you.
Well, thanks, guys.
And it's fitting because he's Scottish, and tomorrow we'll be visiting his homeland.
That's it. Somebody wrote that for him.
Story time.
And you know, it's fitting because he's Scottish, and tomorrow we will be visiting his cool homeland.
For ideas.
And you know...
And that's just a small part of it,
yeah.
Because they really do talk like that. And you will enjoy this show, because when you brought it up the other day, people will enjoy this show so much more because you'll remember what we said. And when they have those moments, mm-hmm. and it's their little class moment, it's their little homework moment that they don't like to do,
right.
Remember that and you'll enjoy it.
True.
You'll enjoy it.
Like, you know, they sit down and they go, okay, Paul...
Oh.
We will not be able to leave tonight until you tell us why it's important to make the bike for crippled kids.
I don't want to do the effing voiceover.
Paul?
All right.
Why are crippled kids special?
The crippled kids are really special because they have a tougher go, you know, than the most people do. So we thought it would be a good idea to answer Mike's phone when it's ringing. And, hey, the effing phone's ringing. I'm trying to do my effing voiceover, Paulie. Paulie, bring that piece of bent pipe in here.
You know, we told Mike for a long time to put his phone on mute. And once he got embarrassed on the air, mm-hmm. I think he learned a lesson that we all can really learn from.
Hello, is this Carla? I guess I waited too long to answer the phone.
Perhaps.
Which is kind of fun, because I thought I'd just let it ring in the background.
You know, ever since Mike started dating a younger girl,
yeah.
Some of us wondered what was going to happen. Well, as it turns out, she's a pretty special girl, and she changes Mike's adult diaper.
And you know something? That's a special kind of person that takes the time to clean me up and get me ready for the day. So that's a good thing, and it's cool.
She's got good ideas, doesn't she?
Great ideas. Great ideas on getting me from the bed into the chair, which is a nice detail. You know what it's time for?
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
That's right. It's time for Buzz's news.
News, me, bar, beers, buzz.
Buzz.
Yeah, it's time for the effing news.
Yes.
Pause.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, hold on a second.
Two.
I thought we loaded up the music from the band that Simon Cowell ruined.
The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's a one-way trip to Fist City. The Don and Mike Show.
Okay, off you go.
Shut up. Uh-huh. Let me see. Charlie in the news. I think we heard about every single tape today that we are going to hear. The only thing that we didn't hear is, Larry King talking about how, and I think that this is awful.
Yes.
Larry King's talking about a Chinese, Asian, Japanese fellow in his neck.
Huh.
Listen to this.
They went right in through here, knocked you out fully, opened up the artery, took out all the gook.
Gross. Hey, gross. That's an ugly word.
Oh,
I don't care for
yes, it.
Yes, it
is. Larry. Controversial Larry King. Lay King.
Funny, that's funny. How's your friend Ann Coulter in the faggot word? What are you making up?
Larry.
Don't forget this one, too.
I don't get the whole Anna Nicole Smith thing at all. I watched her work in Naked Gun, you know, and she wasn't even naked in Naked Gun. What the hell's going on? She's a... Anna's like a one-tip wonder. That's what I call. Can you say tip?
Yeah, you can say
tip. There you go.
You can. It's
Larry.
Oh, good.
There you go. Hi, I'm Larry King, and I'd like to say the T word.
This is good.
Good evening, and welcome to another edition of Larry King Live. Very special guest, but first, let me thank all my friends, colleagues, and others who have written me and sent flowers and the like over the fact that we had very successful corduroy artery
surgery
on Friday in the hospital, on Saturday and back today. So that little thing you see here, that's the whole scar from that surgery. And again, thank you so much for your contact to me and for your kind and generous feelings.
What it's called is carotid artery.
Yes. Carotid.
Corduroy.
They went in and took the matzo ball soup out of the carotid artery.
These those. There was a gook on my neck.
I don't know what's going on, but they took the gook out. And how's your friend with the faggot word?
And you know, I think we learned a lot about Buzz's patience as we waited for the news to start that day.
Which is both fun and cool. Isn't that right, Paulie?
Do you have any ideas, Buzz?
I do, as a matter of fact. Give us some of your ideas. Okay. It was Judge Larry Seidlin who handled the Who Gets Anna Nicole's Rapidly Deteriorating Body case.
Yeah.
He's the one who joked and cried. And
Judge Goodman.
The TV coverage. No, Judge Larry Seidlin.
Well, he looks like Judge Goodman.
He looks like Alan Goodman, our former general manager, and... Wasn't the rumor that CBS was offering him type of a shot at a show? The
rumor was true. His wife actually suggested it because she thought everyone said that he ought to be on television, and a CBS executive snapped that up and called the judge.
All right, where's the body buried?
But this story isn't about him. The case actually began, Anna Nicole's case, began in the courtroom of Judge Larry Korda, and it was Judge Korda who ruled that the custody case belonged in the Bahamas. Sunday, Judge Korda was arrested while sitting under a tree in Hollywood, Florida, smoking a joint.
Oh.
The judge was simply given a citation, not because he's a judge, but because that's what happens in Hollywood, Florida, 99% of the time when someone gets caught with a joint.
Yeah. I'm so wasted.
Updating the Ralph Fiennes bangs a stewardess story, the Oscar-nominated actor may want to take an AIDS test or two. Now that it's been revealed that the Qantas flight attendant on duty in the lavatory that day used to be a prostitute.
Hey, you know something?
What's that?
No, what? I had a dream last night.
She says he did not use protection.
Oh.
I think that should be a prerequisite for flight attendants. Used to be prostitutes. Would that make cross-country travel better, fellas?
You say you're looking for hot sex.
Fly with us. A Ben and Jerry's is already recalling the new ice cream that's named after Willie Nelson.
It's got hair in it.
Make up your own joke.
And teeth.
It's got hair and teeth in it.
Seems the peach cobbler ice cream contains wheat gluten. That's a good thing unless you're one of the people who's severely allergic to wheat gluten. The ice cream will make its second debut soon, this time with a warning about the gluten.
Good.
That's also what they took out of Larry King's neck.
Yeah.
Wheat gluten.
And lots of it.
No, it was a gook, Mike.
Oh, that's right. You're right. Yes.
It was an awful Asian slur.
The gook.
Well, they think it's the wheat gluten that's used to make gravy that's killed at least 9 cats and a dog, prompting the big pet food recall. Officials are still expecting that number to go up as the tainted food sends more pets into kidney failure. We still don't know what's really killing the animals, but we do know the company responsible knew about this nearly a month ago when the illnesses were first reported.
My dog is still sporadic puking. Still yellow stuff coming out of his mouth.
Well, it was at least 3 weeks ago when the company started its in-house testing and discovered that the food was, in fact, causing kidney failure in animals. Those test animals, in fact, died nearly 3 weeks ago, and we're just now hearing about it.
How long do the animals die after they eat the food?
Apparently, about a week.
A week,
judging from what they've said here. By the way, the value of
Did you go to that website yesterday? Did you pick up the stuff?
Carla actually had purchased this stuff. I forgot what it is, but it's the wet food, or it's the wet thing.
The wet thing. Chunks and gravy. Anything that's chunks and gravy.
Chunks and gravy, and she gave him a little bit of it, but... He's
I'm Junks.
I'm Gravy.
Hi, John.
Hello.
I'm pretty sure that this pet food almost killed one of my cats.
Wow.
He lost a bunch of weight, and we took him in, and he had some what we thought was a kidney infection, and we got lucky because we saved him.
Vets are being flooded with calls.
I call a lucky pussy.
That's right. Not like you don't have enough. Menufoods.com.
Does John have about 11 cats?
You know, my wife has been
sick. He's a pussy magnet.
He really is.
My wife has been sick lately. I wonder if that's it.
Are you feeding her dog food?
Well, I mean, when she eats it, she doesn't have much of an appetite.
By the way, the value of stock in Menu Foods has gone down while the stock of its competition is going up.
Sam Patton Foods.
Snatch it up while you can, because that's a rebound market.
Oh, absolutely.
Snatch.
Buy low, sell high. More than one in three citizens of Washington, D.C. cannot read.
Well, Joe.
How are you doing, Joe?
Nationally, it's more than one in five, but nowhere is the literacy problem so bad as here in the nation's capital. The reason is immigration. The head of the D.C. Education Agency says,
right, Buzz.
Says D.C. has had a huge influx of Hispanic and Ethiopian immigrants who cannot read English.
It's only here, not anywhere else, only in D.C.
That means they can't read signs or fill out job applications.
You know what they say?
What?
Ethiopians, hungry for knowledge.
That's a great Sam Kinison.
Go to where the food is!
That's right.
You live in the desert! Go to where the food is!
There's only sand there! And those of us who can...
Which is a nice detail.
Yeah, I hear.
Those of us who can read are having...
Well, Sam really taught us a lot about ourselves and about the dangers of drunk driving. Whatever it is that killed him.
Sam was real nice to point out to the Ethiopians that they should live in a place where there's food.
So that's why we wanted to build this bike for the kids of Ethiopia. You know, I think we really learned a lot.
We really did. But we had to make the bike out of a much lighter alloy.
Well, even if a lot of people can read, more of us are having trouble paying attention. Hey, look, bunnies. A new study from the University of North Carolina shows... Acting... A new study from the University of North Carolina shows that the average person pays attention only about 70% of the time. That means for every 10 words we say, you don't hear three of them. What possibly wrong? Some of the people studied were paying attention as little as 10% of the time.
Could go.
Researchers say it's okay to let your mind wander.
Me understand.
They say people need to try harder to concentrate when that kind of focus is needed.
When we build our bike for reading as fundamental, we realized that some of the Ethiopians might not be able to enjoy it. So we decided to paint pictures on the side of the bike. We called it the quarter pounder. All the other Ethiopian jokes I'm starting to remember now.
So can you improve your concentration by popping peppermint? They hope to find out at Eastern Middle School in Silver Spring, Maryland. There's increasing evidence that there's some aromatherapy to peppermint that helps people focus and makes them more alert.
That's not peppermint.
Here's a tip for you gamers. It can actually help you spot your targets faster if you do peppermint while or before you play.
When Don found out about the peppermints, he was eating them like there was nobody's business. So we made him a new Madden 06 bike, which is a real fun thing to do and kind of cool. But he wouldn't stop eating the peppermints, even though it was a real good idea.
At schools, leave no stone unturned in their quest for higher test scores. Eastern Middle School is handing out peppermints. There are other ways to boost test scores, like encouraging the kids to get a good night's sleep or eating well before a test. Studying also helps. But a school in Florida puts orange slices on the air conditioners. The principal there believes that improves concentration. Some classrooms have been painted pink to reduce stress. Sadly, not everybody takes this seriously. An education coordinator at the University of Pennsylvania says, quote, "We found that test scores go up when there's a steady diet of cheesesteaks with provolone in combination with exciting lessons that ask students to wrestle with important ideas."
Yeah.
Smart ass.
I like that. Cheesesteaks with provolone. I bet they've eaten a few of those at the old shop.
And you know,
We
discovered when you eat a lot of cheesesteaks, sometimes you get all bound up, which is why we are glad to make this bike for the good people at Pepto-Bismol. Because, you know, we always thought that diarrhea was something that was not good. And my dad really learned a lot about his rectum, which is a good detail.
In England, the BBC has a kid's show called Something Special. In each episode, Mr. Tumble greets toddlers by saying, "I'm happy to see you," which he also says using sign language.
Mr. Tumble is actually speaking Makaton, a speech development method.
You look like one of those creatures that live in the jungle with those massive eyes. What are they called? Bush baby.
Oh, you are such
the bush babies. What are you doing?
What are you doing?
Makaton is a speech development method that uses sign language to reinforce each word. Unfortunately, the Makaton word for happy is the same as the British sign language word for effing. So, to the hearing impaired, it appeared
that... I'm shagging, love.
It appeared Mr. Tumble was greeting the wee ones by saying, I'm effing you. An employee of the Royal National Institute for the Deaf who's trying to teach his five-year-old daughter sign language found himself at a loss for words.
I'm effing you.
He says he's contacted the BBC five times, and Mr. Tumble is still swearing like a sailor.
Don't eat.
Don't eat. But you're never too young to learn.
You know... We really didn't know a lot about bikes until they came to make one for us.
We decided we'd make the bike for the deaf, so we made it a little louder, which is a good idea and really cool.
Hearing impaired Tuttles.
Well, we lost our hearing because of all those noise in the shop. Thank you.
You know, it was interesting. We found out Braille is bumps. You know?
Yeah.
Braille did bumps.
Good idea, Dad.
The kids are never too young to learn, and that's our story when we return.
Okay, Buzz, pause.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crespa?
The Don and Mike Show.
Experts at doing the toilet facility. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
All right, ladies, here's the deal with the strip trivia we're trying to get together this week.
All right.
$1,000 for the first prize, the first place winner. $500 second place.
Wow.
Then $100, or was it $200 after that? Or I don't know.
$100 each after.
The important thing is it's the grand for the winner.
Oh, it's $1,000 for the winner.
Right.
$500 second place.
Right.
And then the next five finishers each get $100.
That's it.
Go to our website or call us anytime.
Yep, we're looking for cougars.
Especially Buzz.
And we're looking for MILFs.
Open all night.
If you don't feel like calling, go to our website, dynamitewebsite.com.
We already have the men over 50 that are balding. No, we don't. We're only going to
bring it onto the show for our next bestest ever greatest edition of Strip Trivia.
Hallelujah.
And now here's Charlie. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, Dynamite.
Charlie's got the biggest wet spot, incidentally.
He always does.
Charlie Burbank.
Sorry about that.
The chick's friend.
You know, the kids are never too young to learn to hear Rebecca Arnold of Woonsocket, Rhode Island, tell it. Becky and her new boyfriend have been doing it in front of her 9-year-old daughter. According to him, they do it all the time. Quoting Becky, we don't believe in hiding anything.
Buzz?
Yes?
What about the vagina?
I'm on it. The boyfriend, Dave...
Oh, Buzz?
Yes?
Just leave me alone.
I didn't do anything, ma'am. The boyfriend, Dave Prada, says...
Oh, Buzz?
Yes?
Just a bunch of white trash.
Yes, perhaps. This boyfriend, Dave Prada, says they never forced the girl to watch them.
Be warned, this is extremely graphic, so if you have small children in the room, don't let them disturb you.
Yeah.
The girl apparently mentioned this, the 9-year-old mentioned this to a teacher, and the teacher called the cops. The girl now lives with her dad in Massachusetts.
A lot of perverts in here.
Uh-huh. The latest Mother of the Year candidate and her boyfriend will be on probation for the next 3 years.
Let me ask the mother and her boyfriend, ma'am, can I ask the lady a question? Did you consider that was wrong? Didn't you think that was wrong?
God is my witness. May he strike me dead. No.
All right. There's your answer. Checking.
What's your problem?
I don't care.
Pretty resolute, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It was troubled supermodel Naomi Campbell's first day on the job at the New York Sanitation Department yesterday. Her 5-day janitorial gig started at 8 a.m. sharp at Pier 36 on Manhattan's West Side. It's community service for hitting her cleaning lady with a cell phone. Naomi spent the day indoors sweeping, mopping, cleaning offices. She also had to clean the locker room for the guys on the sanitation crews. I'm sure they didn't leave anything unusual on the floor.
Women's work.
She was, of course, as the New York Post reported it, stylishly outfitted.
I'm sure she left some CSI-style DNA.
Uh-huh.
And speaking of CSI and wet spots, Rob.
Oh, Rob just went out of his mind.
What? Really just had a giant wet spot. He looked at his cell phone and he said, someone called from 818, that's Hollywood.
Yes.
As it turns out, he has a message on his cell phone from the guy that plays Lieutenant Brass on CSI?
Jim Brass. Yes.
It was exciting, but it was also just so out of the blue, it was surprising. Because I just spoke to his publicist like once a week ago.
This is the older guy on CSI.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that's the regular detective, the balding guy.
Exactly.
Right.
The fattish guy. But I was very surprised to hear from him, so look for him soon on the program.
All right. Good. We love CSI.
Brass.
Let's get him on the show.
Love that guy.
Jim Ass.
Richard Hatch, by the way, says prison is, to use his word, horrendous.
K-K-K-K.
The fat, naked guy from the first season of Survivor is doing time for tax evasion, which he says he didn't do. And he's just moved to the federal pen in Morgantown, West Virginia, which is a much nicer place than the county lockup he's called home since the guilty verdict. He says he shared that space in the county lockup with 51 murderers, rapists, and child molesters, with no privacy, no exercise, and the very loud playing of the Jerry Springer show.
You're a snake.
Now, that's what they watch.
Outwit, outlast, survive.
Good luck, Richard. He now says he's in a fenceless prison that has a breathtaking view of the mountains of West Virginia, but he tells People magazine it's no naked day at the beach. Hatch says, quote, it's horrendous because I'm an innocent man in jail. How's his Hatch? After all that time in jail, Hatch says he plans to write a book about all of this.
Now, he is there for not paying the taxes on the million that he won from Survivor,
which
right?
Which he denies, but he's there, yes. That's why.
Dick Hatch.
Mm-hmm. An American Airlines pilot showed up at the airport in Manchester, England, to fly 181 people from there to Chicago. There are actually three pilots required on that transatlantic flight. 46-year-old James Yates was one of them. But he was unsteady on his feet when he arrived at the airport, and he smelled of drink. The way
does this end?
This is the way the British papers put it. He smelled of drink.
Hi, I'm going to be taking you to Chicago today. Why are you hanging me?
They noticed this at the security gate when Jim couldn't find his identification for some reason.
Shut up.
He also failed a breathalyzer test. A blood test showed him to be 6 times over the legal limit for pilots, about double the legal definition of drunk driving.
We have tape of him.
Here he is.
We do?
Sonny, you're 90. And that's an old man. Carson has a woman who kept writing that.
God, he's effed up.
It is to me and to her, and he's what told me.
Yes, Captain.
That you're going to kill Carson.
Because she was in love with Michael.
Yeah.
One of the flight
How did
attendants.
Catherine react when she first found out?
They're going.
She never said anything about it.
God, that pilot is drunk. He almost sounded like Kirk Douglas after a stroke.
And here we are over the Atlantic. So Jim was arrested, this pilot. He says he was just showing up to work to tell his boss he couldn't work that day.
Ah, the Jimster.
British prosecutors say that's not true, but they have not yet charged him with attempting to fly under the influence because he...
How about Michael?
He was upset. They first...
Who's the other pilot he's talking about?
And she's in jail now.
You stupid drunk.
They didn't charge the pilot because he never actually boarded the plane. At Fort Worth, Texas, the owner of a cosmetic center has been cleared of charges that he sexually assaulted during locations while she was getting a laser hair removal down there.
What about the vagina?
You get my drift.
Neighboring locations.
What is questionable about the word vagina?
That's a six-pack.
Okay. Oh. A jury of...
Well, it is.
It is.
I've not heard that expression.
Well, that's why God put those holes there.
Darn right.
So you could just turn her upside down and carry her out.
Carry her home. Does like a six-pack.
Okay. Or a bowling ball.
I'm with you now. A jury of seven...
You never heard that one, Bud?
No, I hadn't heard six-pack.
You've never heard that?
No,
that's why
I
God
hadn't.
Made her like that.
I'm going to have to get out more.
Absolutely. And if she's really lightweight, you won't hurt your arm.
And let's see. Oh, what happened? A jury of 7 women and 5 men. I forgot what story we were doing.
You know, I think Buzz was actually visualizing that promo.
I was, yeah.
Sure.
Hard to find.
Did you just figure it out when we started talking about that?
I had never heard the expression six-pack before.
Wow.
Referring
you
to
would take your,
that
your,
neighborhood.
Your finger
I get it, clearly.
And your thumb.
Yeah.
Thumb.
Uh-huh. Thumb and finger.
Right.
Up till now, anytime you said six-pack, you thought of the Kenny Rogers movie.
Oh, God damn, Rob. You know, you're as bad as one of our ass callers. You really are.
Oh, I like to think I'm worse.
You really are.
Was that a Kenny Rogers movie?
Sure. With Jim Nabors.
What do you have, like just garbage horse manure television running around? Just bouncing up inside of your brain?
And it has to get out.
Six pack.
It has to get out.
Double S. SS. Showstopper.
Wow.
Rob Spiewak.
Wow.
His name is Rob Midas.
Wow.
Not because of the Midas touch, because he's a human brake pad.
Oh, oh.
Wow. The Six Pack, starring Kenny Rogers.
Diane Lane.
They found the head.
He knew, God, I'm going to kill you. You didn't have to say that.
What did they say, Diane?
He knew the actress. Jesus Christ.
Anyway, the guy got off, so to speak. All right. Finally, 35-year-old Mike Mankemeyer of Orlando weighs over 300 pounds. So when he fell off the Disney cruise ship 60 feet into the water below, it's no wonder he collapsed a lung.
Oh, I saw this guy on TV, right.
Steve's fatness may have made him easier to spot from a Coast Guard helicopter.
Big red boat.
Because fat is less dense than water, it kept Mike, who's not a very good swimmer, afloat. The body fat may have kept Mike's hypothermia to a minimum after 8 hours in the Atlantic. So says University of Miami anatomy professor Richard Rotundo. I'm Buzz Burbank.
Sorry, but that's where you go.
On the Don and
Mike. No, take your time, Buzz.
Enjoy it, Tom. Rotundo, get it? This is not a fat guy. The doctor's name is Rotundo.
Yeah.
On the Don and Mike Show.
Sorry, we're out.
No,
of time.
No,
that's it.
No,
we gotta go. See you tomorrow with a new episode, everybody. Good day to you, sir.
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 Head?
Perhaps my body fat will save me when you push me out of the window.
Get out of here, Six Pack.
Goodbye.
This is the Don and Mike Show.